You think that weed or is a performance-enhancing drug when you're watching a film. You think that you can actually have a better...
You pay attention to more.
You can be... Yeah.
You can see through. You can like, oh, I see you running lines. I can see you running lines.
Trust me, I could see all the shit in that movie.
But you're sure it's not just you're really fucking high.
No, both. Because the drill sergeant, the beginning, fucking great. That guy was great.
Okay.
The black drill sergeant, yeah. I like that guy. He was believable, totally fine. She and him and their love story was fucking completely not set up.
Forced.
And garbage. I said you take that ring off. And then the guy's like, can I buy you a drink? Okay. Oh, great. Now we're in love. Scoot past it. It was like an outline of a movie. They're like, and then here's a scene, you know, I'll kind of pick her up. They'll be in love. Okay, move on. Like, shouldn't we shoot that? Like, no, we just shot the outline.
Well, I understand Chris is notorious for one take. More.
What?
Clint Eastwood is notorious
for one
take.
I know, for him.
Take.
Not for his fucking, yeah, do more takes. I'm grateful for the stars. Made me appreciate the sun. I'm grateful for our hours. Made me appreciate the right hours. I'm grateful for the pain. For everything that made me break. I'm thankful for all my scars. Cause they only make my heart. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Dun, 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 dun. It's episode 206 or 7. It's the Oscar preview episode, everybody. But no matter what you do with this episode, don't forget to listen to the end, to the outro, because I have some very special news that you should all hear. It's not that special, but it's some news. So make sure to listen to the end, and I have exact details of some stuff I talk about in this episode. We're doing it rogue, everybody. We're going rogue. We're doing what we want to do. We're free Americans. I'm a comic. I do what I want. Guys, let's have fun with life. You know what I'm saying? Let's just enjoy shit for a while. Can't make fun of a guy for turning down $10 million if he wants to go on the road with his band. A la Nicolas Cage. Do whatever the fuck you want, man. Live your life. Don't mock him. Mock everyone who's too caught up with money. What episode is this? So listen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 207. I'm thinking 207. It's a 2015 gay Super Bowl. The Oscars. Let's see what this is up to. Damn it, it's 206. Well, I was close. Don't forget to watch my storyteller show, This Is Not Happening, every Thursday night at 12:30. We have a rerun this week because it's all fucking reruns for the lead-in, so we're going to delay it a week. So Miss Pat is going to be on a week from Thursday. Miss Pat, Marin, forget who else in that episode. But this one will be battles with Bert Kreischer and Ali Siddiq. Two of the best stories, possibly the best two of the year. Possibly. Yeah, you know how I hate the word best. All right, quick, a couple dates. I got Seattle this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's why later in the episode when I talk about Thursday, I can't do it Thursday, but I can do it Wednesday. So Wednesday it'll be. So when you hear me say Thursday, think Wednesday. Parlor, the downtown Parlor. Tickets are on my website right now. 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm taking with me Nick Youssef, a known member of ISIS. Better to keep a watch on him, I say. Better to keep a watch up close with your enemy than let them get far away. Because as you know, when they get far away, then he goes back to Palestine. He starts talking liberation thoughts. Keep your eye on him. Have him open for you. And then also I got in March, that's it for February, but in March I got the Brea Improv. I got another storyteller show. All Jackass people. We're all telling stories about Jackass at the Improv, March 10th. And then Brea and Sacramento. And Brea, Kevin Christie's doing that. All right, you guys, whatever. So how do you lose weight? 13 pounds above weight now. I went above my range by 13 pounds. I'll just put my mind on it. Whatever. God, I eat so much now. I finish eating and then I'm like, let's get a slice of pizza. Like as soon as I'm done eating. I could go bad. I could get like fat. I could get fat. You guys, thank you very much for supporting this podcast. Last month was amazing. If you could, as a way to pay me back, use my Amazon link on my website. Go to arishafir.com or arithegreat.com. Go to arithegreat.com. You'll remember that better. And you can see all my tour dates there. You can get all the music from this week's episode. I had a Valentine's Day video that you can see up there. Will be the last post. And right there on the right-hand side, if you don't have your ad blockers on, is my Amazon link. So just click on that, and it takes you to Amazon. Then do your shopping as is, and then I get money from your shopping. I earn money from your shopping. What does that remind me of? I earn money from your shopping. Listen, I'm thinking like 80s, a movie in the 80s. I earn money from your shopping. Nope, I just realized it's nothing. All right, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 206. The 2015 Gay Super Bowl with a special announcement in the outro. Don't forget to listen to the outro. And guys, seriously, do it. You should do it. Live your lives, you guys. Let's have some fun. Let's have fun. Okay, bye. Oh, no, wait. So here's what it is. It's all we're talking about the Oscars. Did I press pause? No, I did not. It kept going. Yeah, we do this every year. I like it. We discuss the Oscars. We have a fun time. Those guys, I didn't even introduce them. Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff are comics with me that started at the Comedy Store probably around when I started. Ellis probably within a year of me, and Christian Harloff probably like 2 years later. And they have this podcast called Schmoes Know. It's a YouTube channel, and they're like real reviewers. They actually like... for real, like, review movies. And I mean for real, I mean, like, they give you their real, like, a regular person's fucking breakdown of it. And they're comedic when they do it, so it's more entertaining than fucking Siskel and Ebert boring it up before they die of throat cancer.
Oh, Ari. Unnecessarily harsh. He was a treasure.
So, check out Schmoes Know. They have a podcast. They have a YouTube channel. And they're great. And so I like doing this every year. I bring them in and discuss the Oscars, who's got the best chances, and what we think is fucking crooked and corrupt. We take it to the streets. I find some shit out about some people that passed that I didn't know about. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. 2015 Super Bowl. With Schmoes Know, Christian Harloff, and Mark Ellis.
You're the last person I will love. You're the last face I will recall, and best of all, I'm not gonna miss you. Not gonna miss you.
We'll see if this is the year Paulie will not interrupt us. Go ahead, we're starting.
Oh, you are.
I'll let you look that up, Ellis. But
we should take a percentage of whether or not we think Paulie will interrupt
us. Yeah, what are the odds on that?
Yeah,
he'd have to come by, but it's almost like a homing beacon.
It has the last 2 years. I'd said it 65%
that he does.
Yeah,
the fact that the belly room is a deserted area during a day. For him to come in there.
He's got like a computer chip on his head, like when you start broadcasting.
But there's an important factor working against his showing up this year, and it's because for the first time we've done this show on the Comedy Store porch, there's an AA meeting going on for the entire hour that we're going to be broadcasting.
It's easy prey.
I think he's staying away.
You think so?
I think he stays away from the AA meeting.
Because he doesn't want to look inwards.
No.
And go, I have a problem too. It's not with substances.
He's all about going forward, Ari.
Yeah, that's right. Pauly Shore looks ahead. Dude, look at that one. I'm telling you right now, AA people are hotter than non-AA people.
There are a lot of hot women that walk
in. It's like they burned out at like 17, that Amanda Eggy type that like bottomed out at like 18, 19. And you're like, oh, but you know they fuck.
A lot of mistakes. Good mistakes.
Yeah.
Good
but mistakes. You don't become a prude after that. Right. Like you might not fuck as much, but you fuck.
Right.
But you're also talking about an AA meeting right in the heart of Sunset in Hollywood, which is like where the most attractive AA, besides maybe Malibu, like they don't look like that everywhere.
Yeah, good point.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here. You know, I don't want to say Paulie's not coming, guys. I don't want to say that there's not a lot of talent at this.
Who did he come with? What was that guy's name they came with the first time?
First time
the
was
Black Eye Freeze? No.
Yeah, no. Shit.
Donald Faison.
Yeah, Faison Love.
From Scrubs.
Yeah. Who was last year?
No, not Donald Faison. Faison Love.
Faison from Scrubs.
It's Faison Love.
Faison Love. It's not Donald Faison from Scrubs.
It was somebody, it was a black dude with the name Faison. Yeah.
Faison Love, who later, after the Hannibal Buress thing about Bill Cosby came up, called Hannibal Buress a house nigger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Faison loved it?
Like, why? Because he pointed out a rapist?
Wow.
And it was all like, you got to side with black people. It's like, he raped black people, too. You can't side with the black rape victims? Black people got to get it together. Starting with you, Kanye.
I just think, and I know Hannibal didn't do it on purpose, but it's great to write a bit about a TV dad that might be a rapist. Like, yeah. I'm doing a whole 10 minutes on Alan Thicke just being a rapist because it might get me in a
channel. Oh, right. Definitely be a rapist.
Yeah. He did it on purpose, but he didn't like want the national exposure like that. I actually talked to him about it. He goes, I'm glad it's moved on past me now and just to a Cosby thing. And
has now it's simply not like, the women coming out.
Yeah, it's not like Hannibal Buress has exposed it. It's just like, it's a Cosby story. Yeah. Hannibal's
did you
just dropped.
Did you have him on the show?
No, I've just talked to him before. I wouldn't want
Wait,
it either.
You talk to humans in real life? It's not a podcast?
I mean, I carry around mics so we can sort of fake it. The way Jim Painter would always stand there when he would like pretend, when he would try to tell you he wasn't doing bits on you, but his hand would come up in the fist as if he was as if he was talking that way. Yeah, so I went to the store today. I'm like, dude, I know that's a bit. No, it's not. It's around the back, you guys. You're welcome.
There's no way to explain to people who started out here because you see like a new crop of employees here all the time
they
in the
don't
comedy
get
store. Yeah. There's no way to describe Painter. He's almost like a mythological creature. Yeah. You know, like you're not even. I'm not even sure he ever
transformed
existed.
Into Blue Painter. That was
okay,
the best.
Blue Painter was amazing. Guys, I'm gonna do a whole podcast on Jim Painter. So I want to interview each of you. It's gonna be like I'm gonna have like 25 people being interviewed.
Yeah, I love it.
So yeah.
It's the most ambitious. Does this comic ever exist? Story since Todd Munson went after
great
Gaylord
documentary. Gaylord what happened to Painter?
What happened to Painter?
Great documentary. Mother F.
Yeah, we'd have to talk to Tommy too. He was partially responsible for the downfall.
Downfall of Painter.
Of paint.
Yeah, since we were here last, Tommy was the talent coordinator.
Tommy was the talent coordinator last year. This time,
yeah.
Dude, they said. I mean, I was in New York when I got the call, like, oh, Tommy's been fired. It's not Tom Gordon. They said this patio that day was like fucking Syria after 9/11 with the partying and the we're all free.
I was on the road that weekend, too. When I got back, I was here on like a Tuesday or something, and I've never seen so many comics that I came up with that just fell by the wayside. And you're like, I don't even know if that person is alive or does stand-up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they all came back.
All show, because they think that, oh, now that this guy's done, now it's like, oh, now people are going to appreciate me. It's like,
yeah, guess what? It's like what Mooney says. Time for your nigga wake-up call. Yeah. It wasn't him. It's a new guy, too. No. Now who do you have to blame? Those three fingers pointing at yourself.
I stayed home.
You stay home. I feel bad for the guys like Jeff Keith, who like just gotten in after like years of having to overcome Tommy's like, well, we're hang out. He's like, I'm a professional comic, man.
It's like
and then finally just gets in. It's like, now he's fired. He's like, fuck.
Yeah, you just figured out that Super Mario Warp Zone thing, and now there's a new game. And it's like, I got to relearn this shit. Jesus. Yeah.
Well, I'll get you a spot at the pink dot, okay?
I did that for the factory like four times. Got in with the talent coordinator. I was like, finally. And then they're gone. I'm like, nah, out again. One spot, and then out again for the next 4 years.
Turnover's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst at a club when you think you're in and then they have a totally new talent coordinator. It happens with us sometimes when you meet people in the movie business and you're like, oh my God, that guy's no longer
publicist,
at this place. Yeah.
Well, publicists at the studios.
No way to get a screening.
Publicists at the studios?
Yeah, like you know, like press screenings. You'll be in with them for a while and then you're like, oh, I'm moving. Where are you going now? Detroit. What?
To do a movie? No, just Detroit.
No, just to go to Detroit.
Just Detroit.
But it's, they there's a big turnover there.
Buy a house on the cheap. Yeah. Return over where?
At the studios for publicists. It happens often. Like Alice and I just met with a girl over at Paramount for a bit, and now she's gone.
Yeah, and you go through all those names. I mean, you know what's interesting? And by the way, Ari, congrats on all your success.
Thanks.
In the last year. You have the special on Comedy Central.
Special called Paid Regular. It's available right now at arishafir.com for just $5.
And I have a quick question because I don't want to listen to, you know, you talk about yourself too much. I have one question about that special.
Okay.
You filmed it here at the World Famous Comedy Store where it all came up.
Uh-huh.
It was in the original room.
Yeah.
It's called Paid Regular, so it's kind of about your matriculation through stand-up to being a national headliner.
A little bit. More, it's more about like this is what a regular paid regular
looks
like.
I just said it, so now it's truth. My question to you is, when you actually ended up taping it that night, were you more or less nervous because you were playing on your home court?
So much less nervous. That's what Rogan said later. He goes, oh, I think you might have been like more comfortable. I was like, yeah, man, that was half the reason.
Right.
I've been on this stage more than probably 30% of my sets total have been right there on that stage.
Yeah. So it's not like you're doing a theater that you've never done before. Right. And
that's the worst thing. When they do half-hour specials and they put them in like 2,000 seaters, it's only 1,500 seaters. And it's like, these guys, the biggest room they've ever played is 100.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's their first try at a 1,500-seater. It's a different type of show.
You can't book 1,500-seaters and be like, hey, I just want to warm up for my
special. You don't
special.
Warm up at clubs for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what Louis does. He'll do theaters leading up to his special that he tapes at theaters.
Louis
C.K. can.
But if you book at Comedy Central, if I book a half-hour special, people can't do that.
They can't do a tour of new half-hours.
So
I was so much more comfortable, man. It's like my room. I knew where the lights are. I knew how to move right and look left. You know, the dead spots of the lights where you can, like, see the crowd.
Yeah.
You know all that shit from being here for years.
Right. The technical stuff just goes right. You don't even think.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons. I mean, that's up there and why I wanted to do it here.
It's kind of like you're a ball player, like, for the 70 Celtics, where you know the garden so well, you know where the dead spots are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Court, don't dribble in that spot.
You know which rim is going to give you the friendly roll, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I asked that because you had the special and you had the show. So you've been very busy this fall. And so Christian and I's concern is that you may have seen even less Oscar
films. Normal. Yeah.
Which your normal average, the over-under that I set was,
what's your over?
Half.
So out of all the movies nominated for Best Picture.
For Best Picture.
One and a half is a great set. I will tell you that I was considering last night watching one of the movies. Just like, let me watch one more just before we do this podcast. I did not do that, but I did consider doing that.
I think you just gave it away by accident, but I know that it's going to be under, but I'm going to take the over. I think he's actually saw none, but for some reason I'm going to go over.
I think he's seen one, but I'm going to hope that
he slipped with his words.
I'm going to hope that you've seen three.
All right.
He saw none.
All right. Well, it's the 2015 Gay Super Bowl Gay Super Bowl award show with Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis, Mark with a K.
Despite you, when we made our basketball uniforms, putting a C on there.
We had nicknames for everybody. Aaron Cater had AK-47.
Ari had 9/11.
No, that was my number. I had Jew or just a whatever as my name. The numbers were down at the bottom. Aaron had AK, and then 47 was the number. Ren Azizi had like Raz. Everyone had nicknames. And then Mark just had Mark Ellis. Misspelled. Sorry about that.
Back to personality, but sorry about that. Deep shot.
So, what did you think overall this year in movies? I don't know which ones are nominated, so we'll have to find out when
I do have the over right now. So maybe
let's.
I'm trying to pull up the list, so we're gonna have to kill a little bit more time.
What did you guys think overall this year in movies? 2014 in movies.
I actually thought it was a pretty good year. The summer movies delivered for sure, but I thought that the Oscar movies like it's actually funny. Normally, it's the opposite. Is that the Oscar movies usually deliver more so than in quality.
Oh, right.
But I thought that there were a lot. There were some really good ones that came out in like Whiplash and Birdman were great. Those came out in October.
October. That's late.
That was later. But normally,
does that give you a better chance of winning? It comes out later.
Yeah.
Because our Grand Budapest Hotel was nominated, but I was like, that's this year.
That was early.
Does that mean like no chance because everybody's forgotten about you?
No. A lot of the times it means that, but sometimes like Budapest you'll slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
Like because that movie came out early. It came out. I think it was like March or April when that movie came out. I might be wrong, but normally the way it works is the season, your summer movie season is usually May until like August.
That's when you get Transformers.
Transformers, the Marvel movies, and all the stuff. But then from October until December, the last day of December, you will get the movies that will qualify for the Oscars.
So you see movies that were not in wide release at all. They now come out in January. Like American Sniper came out to most people in January. Selma came out to most people in January.
Oh, this year in January.
Yeah,
but 2015, but because they got it out in a limited
release.
Because it played once at a theater in Hollywood, it can be considered for 2014.
I think I might stun you guys. You got the list?
Yeah.
Here's the 20 best.
I had a 1.5. What did you have?
I'm gonna have faith in Ari, and despite my head, I'm going to go with my heart, and I'm going to say Ari has seen three. I'm taking the over.
Three, okay.
You're going with an actual number prediction. So I have 1.5.
Four. I got four this year, you guys. Four.
That's pretty good.
That's, I was going to go see. I saw Whiplash over there at the Sunset 5, which, by the way, have you been to Sunset 5 yet? The new Sunset 5?
They've redone it. It's
great.
Really?
I saw Snowpiercer there, which I loved. And that it is a great place to watch a movie.
I saw Whiplash there. But it was a shit bomb, but it was an okay shit bomb. It's like Zorba Javon worked there at the door. And they're like, oh, hey, Zorba, discount? No. Like, motherfucker, why am I even being nice to you then?
Right. Did he work there, or was he just taking a break from the open mic at the Laugh Factory?
Maybe.
He was always in line.
So let me
at
guess
the
which ones you saw. You saw Whiplash, obviously.
Okay. But by the way, they do have a $5 or $6, I forget, Tuesdays, all day, all night. Any movie in there, it's $5 or $6. So I was going to see one yesterday during the day.
Great food, too.
Great food.
A lot of variety.
Yeah, the snack bar is like great fresh butter and popcorn shit. Grilled cheese sandwiches, soup, salads, beer.
Yeah.
Wow. And they have a buzzer system so you can go watch previews and it's like, oh, my food's up, and then just go get it.
That's pretty awesome. But I say Whiplash, I say Birdman. I say American Sniper and Grand Budapest Hotel.
Wow.
Did I get all four?
All four, man. Yeah, that's all four. That.
Did you really?
God damn.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a good prediction.
Okay, so you saw American Sniper.
I should have waited for you. I'm sure I waited for you, Ellis.
I was going, did you say Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So which out of those four that you saw did you like the best?
All okay, right. I'll tell. Well, let's not focus on the negatives. Let's just focus on the positives. I loved Whiplash. I just saw that last week.
So
and I loved it.
That's my favorites of the year.
It might... Okay, there's some movies about... I don't want to say it's about comedy, but it's about like performance and artistic process. You know, the last one I saw that was that good on that was Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
It was all about like just achieving these goals and, you know, and like being an artist when everything's trying to get... Not, so it didn't matter this guy was about jazz. It was about comedy to me.
Yeah.
And that fucking,
anything.
His boss or whatever, the head of the chair, of the that's just Mitzi. It's the same shit as Mitzi.
Oh,
fuck you.
Yeah.
You're not good enough.
Simmons? Yeah.
You're not good enough, you faggot. What are you looking down for? It's not a Mars
tempo.
Bar.
It's
and he goes tempo. Through the same, he goes through the same like thought process where he's like, no, fuck, I'm going to show this guy. And then eventually you just get so burned out, you're like, no, I quit. I got to step away from it. And then am I going to get back into it? Now
seems
that
like all the Oscar movies do that. You know, there's another Oscar movie that reminded everybody of comedy? Like I watched it with Tom Connolly, and he cried. It was The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, sure, absolutely. That's comedy. Another one. That's another one. Was that before Black Swan or after?
That was 2009, I think, or 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was right after Black Swan.
No,
oh, really?
Right before. It was around the same area, a year or two before.
I saw Black Swan. I went to go watch I made a thing of, I didn't do it much, but I said I never see people do long sets, only like workout sets in town, and you never know if they're working on some shit. So I wanted to see people on the road, like what they're really like showing to a crowd. So I was like, well, Brea's right down there, Brea and Irvine and shit. And I'm like, I know they know me, they'll let me in for free on a Thursday if it's not sold out. So I went and watched Black Swan and then watched Bill Burr. It was great.
That's a pretty good show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was wanting to do it more. I wanted to do it with Geraldo, and then something happened, and I don't see him playing much anymore.
Oh, he passed away, Ari. Like, that was years ago.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What if I start crying? What if I was that good an actor?
I
could really let it affect me right now.
He's great,
we start applauding at the very end of the performance.
I have whatever album he had, whatever one he did, the most
with
recent
America,
one he did.
With him in like a river or something?
Yeah. And it's on my iTunes. And so when I'm driving around listening to random, sometimes just random stand-up bits will come up. He was so good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Oh, the roast alone, man.
The roast was great. He did a roast style that I'd like to do, which is just him and Patrice. It's like, here's how I really feel. I'll make jokes, but here's how I really feel about you.
Right. Yeah.
You know? They're not just like ironic jokes. You could kind of apply to anybody or anybody could tell them.
No, he was like... They cut true to everybody. He was you knew who he was talking
to. Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy's like, I hate you. I think you're ruining America. It was like... Yeah, and then he went over and talked to him. I heard he said, like, I wasn't joking about any of that. Like, when he, like, shook his hand and said hi. Like
I wasn't joking about that, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, that's
but no,
right.
You're right. Whiplash had that one of those.
God.
J.K. Simmons. Did you ever
what
watch,
a ballsy movie.
Did you ever watch Oz? The movie? The
sure,
show?
Of course.
His character in Oz.
The movie. The show.
The show.
Yeah.
The show. His character.
Brian Callen was in that.
That's right, he was. But
playing like a preacher.
Was in Oz?
Yeah.
Really?
No. Oh, the guy from 90210 was playing a preacher.
Who was Callen?
Luke from 90210. Callen was just some guy that was there.
Oh.
He ended up being gay, I guess.
But
he played a preacher on Seventh Heaven. Yes.
Was a crazy Nazi in that movie.
Yeah.
And he played Schillinger. And I would say he basically
Schillinger,
is.
That's right.
He basically is. If that character never went to jail and became a music teacher, that's Whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's. Okay, so what are his chances of winning Best Actor? I mean, we could say
Supporting Actor.
Supporting Actor. Because He's been killing it for a while. And I know the fucking makeup calls are worse than the NBA.
That is a lock.
We can start with that.
Because they're like, oh, we never gave him one? Fuck.
No, everyone's been,
and he's old now?
No, he's winning everything also, too. He's won Golden Globe. He won SAG. You look at
the
ones that he's piling up and the amount of people that are talking about him.
He was great.
Who's he going up against?
This is a dogfight for second place.
Okay.
Because J.K. Simmons is going to win this. The best actor in a supporting role. Yeah. Why do you get nervous every time I talk into the mic? Is it?
No, it's not that. I was looking to see if I even press record the second time. So if we just had lost the first 15 minutes, but we're good.
That's a fear that I have. Every review we shoot, every time we're on, I still have in the back of my mind some fear that we're going to lose whatever we did. I don't know how professional films handle that. Like, they just wrapped shooting on Star Wars, right? And like, who has those SD cards?
Like, they put them in. It's like the Ark of the Covenant, man.
It's like the Constitution. Yeah, it's
just in that big warehouse, the burned label out.
Yep. It's being edited by top men.
So who's he going up against? He's going against Ethan Hawke.
Best actor in a supporting role is Ethan Hawke.
Now he did it for Boyhood.
Boyhood.
So that's an interesting one because that was over a 12-year period.
Yes.
So that's like. I mean, in terms of like acting, you're like, this has never really been done before in a movie.
No, and captures life like no other movie has ever done.
On that level, it's like I totally support that nomination just because like, was he okay?
He was.
Was Ethan Hawke okay?
Yeah, he was good. Fantastic. Yeah. As was Patricia Arquette as the mom, and she was nominated for Best Supporting.
I heard
actress.
She like got old through the filming of it.
Old and bigger.
Bigger, right? But you see, like actresses keep it going longer, you know. But like. God, with the boobs.
Sunburn. Yikes.
Man. But, like, you could see her hit the wall in that movie.
You do. Well, you see, like I said, as far as capturing life, you see all the characters not only get older, but you actually see them evolve as characters and as people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we'll talk about her, I guess, when we get to
see her. Become a better actress or actor.
You
like,
have to.
Like, 8 years in, you're like, I've learned a lot of my game now. It's better.
But not even that, as you think about, like, let's say in year four. You did a movie that you broke when you're doing a set, you have a particular
breakout set,
and you just feel something change when you did that set that night. That could have happened 4 years into this process of them acting.
It'd be really funny if they gave her like most improved actress.
Yeah,
like the first couple of years, she's just looking at the camera every scene.
Most believable mom because she put on 10 pounds.
I did a sketch for Comedy Central, and he was like, "Oh, this time I don't know, your line accidentally went by the camera," and I was like, "Oh." No, I stared directly into it. It was a huge mistake. I realized I did it when I was doing it. I don't know why I was checking your camera angles.
Got lost in the headlights.
Yeah.
So, Ethan
all right,
Hawke.
So we got Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman,
okay.
Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, Robert Duvall for The Judge,
now,
and your winner, J.K. Simmons for
Whiplash. How can you nominate Robert Duvall for The Judge? What a shitty movie that was, wasn't it?
But he was good. I know you and I, Mark and I stand on
I didn't dislike the movie. I didn't love the movie. I didn't dislike it, but I just think that Robert Duvall was great, but it wasn't an Oscar-worthy performance.
Think he was the only
Chris Kyle.
I actually do think
it's Chris Kyle.
Who's Chris Kyle?
It's American Sniper.
Oh. No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't him.
I think it was.
No, he's with Geraldo.
What? Where are they? They left New York and they're somewhere else now?
they're touring.
Yeah. So out of those...
The thing about The Judge that upset me is that there's the scene in the bathroom,
the
diarrhea scene, when there's just shit everywhere. They're just smearing shit everywhere. It was such a clear, please give us a nod.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, really? I'm incontinent. I'm old and incontinent.
Like, it was like going full retard. It's like, no, man, we got to get the nomination.
Because we need to get a nomination. Have him shit himself is what he's saying. What a brave choice.
And be embarrassed about it.
Yeah. But it was I can see the nomination, but he still – it was a nice nod to Robert Duvall. That's more of your point before of, like, he's a little older. Let's give him
But he's
nod.
Won one, though, right?
He has won one. Down.
I feel like they'll give you a nomination. Like, it's been a while for a nomination. We'll give you a nomination. We're not going to let you win because you already have won one or two, but, like,
well,
I think one.
Meryl Streep, they nominated her for eating a fucking hot dog. They nominated her for everything.
Meryl Streep is a different category, though, because she is the greatest of all time.
Think she should have been nominated for Into the
Woods?
Sophie's
Choice?
I don't, but Meryl Streep is the one that as soon as her name pops up that she's in a movie,
these makeup calls make people less interested in the Oscars.
Yeah.
Like, make it about the best shit and not... I mean, same thing when they did the last Ethan Hawke movie when they nominated the black guy that was in that.
Would Meryl Streep get nominated?
The black... Denzel Washington.
Yeah, it's like, he wasn't even a lead actor. Ethan Hawke was.
Right.
Denzel was supporting in that.
That's always a question is about whether or not someone's the best
actor. Yeah, how much do you have to be?
Steve Carell, by the way, is nominated for best actor. When he's clearly a supporting actor.
Remember that guy? Who was the first baseman for Texas for a long time? Rafael Palmeiro?
Oh. Yeah.
And he got the Golden Glove at first base, and he played like 12 games at first and just DH'd the rest of the year. I'm like, well, how are you naming the Golden Glove then?
Right. Yeah, they do that a lot. I mean, look, you look at...
Bullshit, man. It might have been 30 games.
I just didn't think Rafael Palmeiro's name would come up
in this Oscar 2015 Oscar podcast.
Who do you think Meryl Streep would get nominated if she was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2?
No way. It would have to be something... Would she? No, no.
No?
If, I mean, if she killed it. Because Dalmatians was a fucking kids movie.
Did she get... that wasn't Meryl Streep. That was Glenn Close.
Yes, it was.
Glenn Close.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Okay. I was mixing those two up.
Okay, I mixed them up.
She also got nominated for Devil Wears Prada, which it wasn't really an Oscar kind of film, even though she was great in it. If Ninja Turtles 2 comes out during Oscar season, it's got a shot. Because Into the Woods came out. If Into the Woods came out in the summer... There's not a chance in hell she's getting nominated.
I don't know, man.
But it came out December 20th for a reason.
I think she could get nominated for an Oscar by doing a commercial.
Do you think people... Because I was listening to the Grammy... I'm not listening, but looking over the Grammy Award winners. And this is every year. For comedy, I'm like, I'm positive they don't listen to the albums. They just nominate the names they think they should nominate. Because they nominate garbage people.
The Grammys are famous for doing
it. It's always Saget. It's always Kathy Griffin. And it's like, people are like, well, Saget's not that bad. It's like, yeah, not that bad, but... We're talking about the best of the year.
Right.
And you never get a Kyle Kinane or a Doug Stanhope or a Bill Burr. The best of the year, and those guys always get passed over. That's ridiculous. Right. To have some celebrity
the
over
Grammys,
them.
The Grammys gave Best Heavy Metal Album in 1989 to Jethro Tull over Metallica's and Justice for All because they did not understand what heavy metal was.
You know,
what's funny about that is that it all relates into what happens now with the Oscars, too, because it's who's in charge.
Yeah.
Because, and that'll
who's in charge.
Continue, because even our generation now, when we're in charge of the Oscars, will be nominating stuff that we like now that
but they'll have their people they liked as kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, I like them.
Right, because look at, like, the Lego Movie was one of the biggest snubs this year. Like, that was a movie.
Everyone loved that movie.
Everyone thought it was a shoo-in. People thought that was going to win.
Because they're like, it was so much better than you thought it would be.
And the old farts didn't get it. They didn't understand.
Right. Yeah. So do you think if Glenn Close, because it was December 20th, they go, oh, yeah, Glenn Close. Is it a musical?
Meryl Streep.
Just nominated
Glenn Close, also a great actress.
Right. But without even, who did Sophie's Choice?
Meryl Streep.
Without even watching the movie, they just go, yeah, she was great. Or just took somebody else's word for it.
They watch it for 5 minutes, and they go, yeah.
Right.
And they write,
oh, she's really committing to that witch role.
She is.
Which, like, she was very good in the
not
role.
Oscar. Who would you give it to in the nomination over if you had to choose between Duvall or giving it to Streep?
Oh, that's tough. In the two undeserving great actors that were
nominated.
Did
you see them both? You guys see all of them, right?
I would probably give it to Robert Duvall. Because now when you compare it to The Witch in Into the Woods, that shitting on yourself scene isn't so shameless.
Right.
That's all she does.
I saw Into the Woods on stage at, like, the Lincoln Center in D.C.
Was it great?
The play itself is fine.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
The movie blew shit.
Best thing to happen to...
You can't watch a musical movie. Theater is okay because it's like, oh, you know, the pomp and circumstance of it all and the fucking, you know, it plays better. It's just like, not in a movie. It just looks so fake.
I saw the Book of Mormon this year.
Oh, I got to see that.
It was awesome. Saw the Pantages. It was great. The best thing to happen to Broadway in the last 10 years is the South Park episode making fun of Broadway.
Oh, really?
Haven't seen it.
Funny?
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's funny because I didn't even think about that. They were on Broadway, so they had first-hand experience when they wrote that.
So we have J.K. Simmons winning Best Supporting.
J.K. Simmons is going to win in a landslide.
I'll give it to that. Let me see who else is nominated for that.
So and then
J.K. Simmons.
Talk about everybody else. Yes. So
actor in a supporting role.
Yeah. Best
supporting
Mark actress. Ruffalo for Foxcatcher. Oh, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood.
Ruffalo was really good.
Duvall for
none of those
the
guys
judge.
Got a chance to beat.
I'll tell you what, Norton.
Edward Norton is the. I think Edward Norton wins the silver medal.
Outside
for,
chance.
Birdman.
Here's why I would consider Ed Norton an outside... Because, what's his name? Keaton is nominated for Best Actor for Birdman. Yeah. And in that movie, Norton acted circles around Michael Keaton.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't even think Michael Keaton was that good. He was playing a schlub, but it's like, if you compare him to what the other prototypes were for that character, the wrestler, like this has been, he wasn't really doing it. It was just like he was kind of half-assed. Now, I like the fucking running around, and you have to be on at one... You know... It's like because the camera never breaks.
Yeah.
So like at some point, like, oh, you're a happy scene, and then it cuts back to you, and now you have to be super upset. You have to like change quickly, change outfits, and then be like crying. But he didn't blow me away with his acting.
But Norton did.
And Norton did. Norton seems so natural.
I think Norton was great. If J.K. Simmons wasn't in the running, then he would have a good shot to win it for sure. But the thing is, I think that Norton's burned a lot of bridges.
Really?
The character he was playing
was real.
Was real, and they said that he actually did some of that shit on behind the set.
Oh,
too.
Did he really?
Yeah. So
why'd you switch my fucking water out?
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. And then he was like, "Dude, there's a play going on. It's a fucking dress rehearsal. Fuck them."
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
See that role more than any other role this year. Even with J.K. Simmons included, is that role was just built for a great actor to come in and steal every scene.
Yeah.
Because unlike Whiplash, where Miles Teller is the star of the film, but it's him and J.K. Simmons.
Miles Teller was okay.
He's the star of Birdman.
For sure.
And so that was so set up for Edward Norton to just sit in the corner and knock down threes. So I think his job was a lot easier than what Michael Keaton had to do
like
in that
movie. Like Jack Black in High Fidelity. Where it's like, we had this movie about somebody else and his love story, but this crazy character.
You can be as big and as crazy as you want because we got another guy that's the paperweight.
Right,
and
right, exactly.
And you don't respect the paperweight.
So Best Supporting Actress, we said, was...
Best Supporting Actress?
Yeah.
Oh, so who else we got for that?
We got Patricia Arquette, who we talked about already.
Emma Stone for Birdman.
Congrats on
getting a nod.
She was just serviceable in that.
I agree with you.
She didn't show that she was bad, but it wasn't like, wow.
You know what?
Who was that girl?
I didn't do my due diligence before this podcast because I keep meaning to research the other Best Supporting Actress roles. Maybe it was just a really lean year.
Keira Knightley.
Best Supporting Actress, because Keira Knightley didn't blow me away.
I thought Keira Knightley was pretty damn good.
She
in that
was
movie,
really
though.
Good, but
I hear what you're saying, Ellis, that women can't do anything men can do. But I'm not sure I agree with you.
Do we have a stenographer?
I'm not sure I agree with you, man. But
but Imitation Game, she held her own against Benedict Cumberbatch, like that back and forth. You talk about a tip
good
for
point.
It was and Benedict Cumberbatch, was incredible in that
He's
role.
He's killing it right
but
now.
That back and forth, I thought Keira Knightley was great and well deserving in it too. But going back to Ari's earlier point before with what you're doing over a course of 12 years and not only aging on camera and being vulnerable, but
and you're being vulnerable by showing yourself getting older.
You really are. But
like less
really
attractive for an actress, that's hard.
It is. And she captured being a mom. She really did capture. Like, you believe that she was the mom of these
kids. Wild card in the Best Supporting Actress category is Laura Dern for Wild, because she was so good, but she's on screen for like 2 minutes.
Totally. Oh, really?
Like she's not in it that much.
If you're not in it that much and you can still get nominated, then why wasn't the guy from Inglourious Basterds in the opening scene nominated, the French farmer guy?
How scared that guy was.
Because
right,
that guy, that was one of the best acting roles I've ever seen.
He was really
and good. That was a good 10 minutes.
Yeah. Do you want one of the best roles like that? That should be its own category. There's a movie.
Yeah, little roles.
Ago.
Like not even like.
Mark Ellis and Uncle Fucker?
And you're going to know where I'm going
best
with
best pinch hitter.
Mark Ellis and Little Fucker. I was the lead in Little Fucker. There's a movie called Water for Elephants that had Robert Pattinson and Reese Witherspoon in it, and it's told in a flashback, right? So the first 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, are the old guy thinking back.
Okay.
The old guy is played by Hal Holbrook, and he crushed it.
You said he was going to get nominated. I remember that.
I was being a little facetious, but he was so
good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think she wasn't in it enough? I wonder if that matters. With 34 games at first base, it'll be enough.
This one's competitive, I think, between Arquette, Dern, and Knightley, but I think Arquette is going to walk with this.
I think Dern got in there. Like, people didn't even think she was going to get nominated. People thought it was someone else that she beat out.
Oh, for a nomination?
Yeah, they thought that someone else would get nominated, but I think...
Any snubs in each of these categories, do you think? In actress or actor,
not
supporting?
Not in the supporting. Once you get to lead actor, that's where you got your snubs coming in,
So that you didn't see any like supporting acting roles that you were like, oh, what? That didn't even get a nomination? That was pretty good.
Well,
because Emma Stone was, like I said, just there.
If you say Steve Carell is the lead in Foxcatcher, which I don't think he is, but he got nominated for Best Lead, then by proxy, is Channing Tatum a supporting actor? Because if Channing Tatum's a supporting actor, he gave a hell of a performance in Foxcatcher.
I'm still going to fight for it. I know that I'm way behind the... I think I'm ahead of the time, a lot of people here, with Andy Serkis and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. For what he did on Performance Capture.
The acting it out shit.
But
the Gollum
see,
shit.
That's why, though. It's not against you, but I mean, like, most people don't understand what goes into.
Ape, no kill.
What
Ape.
Goes into.
Yeah, but you know what? Same as stunt work.
No, it's not.
It's like that might be hard.
But it's not, dude, it's not the same at all. These are real performances. They are capturing, like, the way the technology is working now. Everything you see in that performance from Andy Serkis, everything you see is Caesar. That's Andy Serkis. There's no difference from what
makeup
artist
does. Okay, fine, but it wasn't like any of the apes made me cry.
Well, that's
it. Wasn't like I got
you,
so lost
you just didn't
in it
like
that
the
I was
performance itself.
That might be
right.
Hard.
So it's
that's
like he might have like gotten there, but it wasn't like he got me anywhere special.
Well, you might
if
you
he could act out the apes and get me like fucking emotional about it, then I can see what you're saying.
But that that's just you and I looking at the performance of it because it did that for me.
So, I heard Earthquake talk about who should get the nomination a long time ago, and he goes, "It was Eddie Murphy for the one where he played six roles,
Norbit."
Yeah, no, Nutty not Norbit, Nutty Professor. And he was like, "Okay, fine, maybe it wasn't the best, but six. Everyone else just did one role. Six. How are you not going to get? He wasn't a sixth as good as the best actor. You know, he was more than a sixth as good.
There's two guys that actually played two roles in the same movie this year, a la Van Damme and Double Impact. One was Jesse Eisenberg."
That's right.
And the other one was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, double an enemy.
In Enemy. And neither one of them got recognized. Now, Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the guys that got snubbed
big time
from the Best Actor category for Nightcrawler.
I'm surprised you haven't seen Nightcrawler.
I did see Nightcrawler.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So you've seen more than... Oh, no,
that wasn't Nightcrawler wasn't nominated
that's
for Best
another
Picture.
Snub. That's another snub.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
Here's the deal with Nightcrawler. I saw it, and it was interesting, but it wasn't like... And even the acting, it was like good, but no, I liked it, but it wasn't like
15 minutes pushed it towards where you could consider it for best picture.
I love that movie. I thought
it was creepy. He played a good creep.
That's what I mean.
He did play a really good creep.
That's not Jake Gyllenhaal. That dude just shuts off. You see, that's a fucking crazy person, and it says something on capitalism. And you cannot watch local news the same now.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
It's impossible.
I fucked you.
Such a great and Rene Russo.
Yeah, she was really good in that,
she's
too.
She's the other one.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your snub.
They should be
best supporting actress.
Yeah, she's better than Emma Stone.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's a good call.
Rene Russo should have gotten nominated for Emma Stone.
That's a good call, yeah.
You know what they should call that category we're talking about? Best cameo in a movie.
Yeah, right.
That guy from Inglourious Basterds should have won some award or been nominated.
You know why they wouldn't best do extra. It? Is what? Because it mirrors too closely the Golden Globes, the best guest star.
Oh, really?
Like, you know how some famous dude always wins, like, popping into a TV show?
Yeah.
I think that the Oscars hate when they feel like they're copying some other award show, so they would never do that. You know, another snub that we're not talking about is the best actress. There was a snub, and that's Jennifer Aniston. For Cake. Everybody thought she was getting nominated. Marion Cotillard slides into that spot at the last second.
Yeah, you can tell, though, when Kate came out, I from the billboards, I'm like, this is them trying to push her for an Oscar.
But she was so good in it. The movie itself, the movie itself's okay, but it's the best she's been. You talk about how Gyllenhaal
she was fantastic.
She's really good because you always associate her as just one particular role. She can't ever do anything except the Jennifer Aniston thing.
Yeah.
She's done it now twice. She did it with A Good Girl, and now she did it with this movie.
Well, here was The Good Girl. You had another breakout, Zooey Deschanel in that. When you're like, me and Mike Black saw it, I think at the Old Sunset 5. And then we left there going, who was that other girl in that? I know Jennifer Aniston, but who was that girl that worked at the fucking place?
Always get the shitty announcements.
Yeah. Like, shit, I loved her. And then it turns out, well, yeah, so did everyone. She's going to be a giant star.
So you saw that at the other set. You saw that at the Old Sunset 5.
The Old Sunset 5.
Pre-renovated Sunset 5.
Pre-renovated. Man, it's so nice now.
I ran into James Spader there one time.
Really?
Old Sunset 5. Yeah, getting a big thing of popcorn, yeah. It was post-Stargate, pre-Black Hat.
Are you when you see James Spader doing like eating a lot of popcorn? Do you want to go like, this is why you're on TV?
This is why you're doing voiceover instead for Ultron.
Yeah,
yeah. Which by the way looks awesome.
Voltron,
Ultron, Avengers 2.
He's the bad guy.
Age of Ultron.
Avengers 2.
Yeah, the second Avengers movie.
He's gonna be Voltron.
Ultron, Ultron.
Oh, they should do a Voltron movie
It was in talks for a long time. It was in production.
And they're not happening?
No, it'll probably happen.
That would blow away Transformers.
I hope so.
Meryl Streep in.
I hope so. How should it not blow away Transformers? By the way, Pete Carmona just gave me this insight on Transformers.
What do you got?
Did you come with me to Transformers?
The first one? Yeah.
We all saw Transformers.
Okay. Yeah. Awful.
All four of
them. That was a rough theater experience. We all walked out like, what the fuck just happened?
Some people liked the first one. I didn't.
Do you guys remember? Yeah, it's like idiots like the first one. Do you guys remember at the very end of this movie, Transformers, everything's becoming a robot. Vending machines are, you know, the power.
Yeah.
Vending machines are coming out. They're evil. And in this mayhem of probably New York City, some metropolitan area, there's this girl for a full 2 seconds on screen that you've never seen before in like a bright dress. She's super hot. And she's just like screaming in silence, and it focuses on her, and it's like it took me out of it even more than the rest of the shit.
That's Michael Bay. You just described every Michael Bay movie.
Here's what I just found out. Carboni said this. Said he talked to someone who worked on Michael Bay. He will go to the extras, send someone, and say, "If you come fuck me at lunch, I will feature you as an extra."
Yeah.
Really?
I believe.
So now I guarantee you that girl fucked Michael Bay.
Of course.
I want to track her down. I looked up her IMDb. She's still...
How's she doing?
Okay, you can't have her doing too good, because she became Jennifer Aniston, I'll never be able to get to her. Right. And if she's out and living in Iowa, I'll also never be able to get to her. I think she's in that perfect realm of, I'd like the attention.
She's a barista at Starbucks?
Something like that, but she's still trying to get auditions and shit.
She might be at this AA meeting right now.
That's true. I fucked Michael Bay in the first Transformers.
And to me, that's, okay, make Transformers whatever, but like, if you sacrifice your art, if you're willing to take me, the viewer, out of it for the sake of you getting your dick wet... Go fuck yourself.
Dude, that's Michael Bay. That's all he does. Mm-hmm. That's why I hate him so much.
Artistic integrity
you
at all.
Saw the first one.
No, yeah, then I was done.
That's
because your job, you had to see the rest.
Fucking best one. The fourth one. That's all he does. There's shots of probably girls that he blew a load on 10 minutes beforehand.
Now, look, I will say this: is that he's the most shameless example of that. He ain't the first guy in Hollywood to put a girl.
No,
fucking
no. Okay, but not to take you out of it.
It takes you right out.
Not like, hey, I need a featured extra here. I'll use you. Yeah,
then
this shitty artist.
He's such a shitty director. Yeah. And he's such like a music. director.
I would rather have him direct a good movie with girls he fucked in there. You know, like then him stop fucking girls, but still make bad movies.
Yeah.
I want him to make a good movie.
Fuck better actresses.
Yeah, he's not going to be on the next one.
Better actresses.
Not going to be the next star.
They're saying they're pulling him off of it. They've been saying
that
forever.
It's done. Yeah. He was the whole franchise. I have no interest in it unless they totally revamp it. Wait 10 years, revamp it.
With good actresses.
So what else we got?
All right, so Ari, now we're to best lead actress.
Best lead actress. Okay, Reese Witherspoon, Wild.
She was great.
I heard she was awesome. I heard really she shows good. Her bush.
She does show her bush.
Does she show bush?
She shows bush. She blows two guys at the same time.
At the same time? What do you mean?
She's the one guy nails her, gets off her, and then she's banging another guy. Over.
Yeah, so
I got to see. I have this at my apartment, at my Benji's apartment.
It is a really good movie, and she is... She's honest. She's raw in it.
It's one of those roles where, yes, you're gunning for an Oscar, clearly, because you're doing things that people aren't used to seeing you do. But she was great. She was great.
Man, I'll tell you what. That's the only movie I've even heard of.
Which one?
We spread this one. I've heard of Gone Girl. I have no idea what it is. Oh, that's about the artists.
Oh, you didn't see Gone Girl?
That's about the artists?
No. Gone Girl is the murder mystery about they don't know Ben Affleck, whether or not he killed his wife. David Fincher directed it.
No idea.
Oh, dude, you got to watch that
Still
one.
Still Alice, I've never heard of.
That's the one other
that's
one.
Julianne Moore, I think, is a shoo-in to win the best actress category.
I don't
category.
Say shoo-in. I think
has
Still
she won
Alice.
Anything?
Ever?
She's never won an Academy Award.
They'll get it to her because they love her.
Yeah, and
she's a respected actress.
She plays somebody with early onset
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's. Yeah, so she's slowly losing her.
Is that the dad from Everybody Loves Ray?
Peter Boyle.
That is
Peter
not
Boyle.
Also hanging out with Greg Giraldo.
Also not around anymore.
Yeah. What do you mean?
This is the death show.
You guys, what a horrible episode.
A lot of dead people.
Is that Rodney Dangerfield?
By the way, the improv, they have that fucking cheese dick video that comes out ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they're like, the improv, home to... And the first four people, I was like, dead. Wow. And then they named some people like David Spade who are still alive.
Have they ever broken down what the average comedian's lifespan is? Because it's got to be like 48.
You know, nobody from the four major sports, no athlete from the four major sports has ever lived to 100.
Wow.
In history.
Some Olympians have, I bet.
Yeah, but not from the baseball, basketball, football,
it's
hockey.
Zamperini. Well, the guy,
Sort of, but also they're in shape.
But dude, there's so much wear and tear and painkillers and all that shit.
As a baseball player?
Yeah.
Baseball player, you're on the other end of the spectrum. You're not healthy enough. You're eating fucking sunflower seeds.
Right.
Chewing tobacco. All day.
Right.
Yeah. But Zamperini,
sunflower
the guy
don't put
who
sunflower seeds and tobacco in the same category.
He was like 94, 95.
Really?
Yeah. And he went through a lot of shit.
He did.
So who do you guys give this to? Best actress?
I think Julianne Moore Still Alice is probably your front runner.
What's Still Alice about?
That's the Alzheimer's ones. She's got her early onset Alzheimer's. And she is a college professor who just, she's like 46, 47.
Early Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Dude, I like movies like that, like Blue Jasmine last year that dealt with like someone going crazy in like the early stages of it. It's like, you're showing me a life example of something I don't normally see. And I like that for movies.
But
showing it in a real, like, not like, oh, boo-hoo is me way.
You know why I think she should get it?
Why?
It's because she made Kristen Stewart look like a good actress.
Really?
Kristen Stewart was great in it. Kristen Stewart from Twilight. She's really good.
Yeah,
she's really good in it. But I will say, I would not be surprised if Rosamund Pike snuck it out in a big upset.
Who's Rosamund Pike?
Gone Girl.
From Gone Girl.
See, I think Rosamund Pike and Felicity Jones are on these categories where... it's enough for them, for that actress, regardless of the performance, it's enough for the actress to get the nod to where now it's like, okay, Rosamund Pike was great. And it goes a little bit back to what Ari's talking about.
You get her in the system now.
If there's a tiebreaker, it's going to go to the tenured professor.
I think it's even more than a tiebreaker. I think it's like if Rosamund Pike was slightly ahead, then they would give it to Julianne Moore.
I think Julianne Moore is going
to
win.
You know, if she was way ahead, then it's like we couldn't give it to Julianne Moore, but it might be close.
Julianne Moore will win, but I just would not be shocked if the upset happens and it's Rosamund Pike.
When they do upsets, what is it? Just there's like guys thinking like, we like this other person.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the voting committee, you know, there's a couple other votes just went the other way.
How many people vote on this?
There's a couple.
And who are they?
Well, it's mixed up between actors, directors,
oh, really?
Guild members. Yeah, it's a whole
The Academy.
Academy, yeah.
The Academy of Motion, the one down there?
Yes.
Joey right Goring graduated from there.
We should do this podcast next year right outside and just talk about all the bullshit decisions they made. Yeah.
But actor, though. The actors,
most of them are pretty good.
A two-man race.
Best actor is a two-man race. There's your not. And the nominees are.
And the nominees are Eddie Redmayne. Is he a Native American?
No, Eddie Redmayne is British.
Redmayne sounds like a Native American name. Especially Eddie, they always had that common first name, and then
it sounds like
he had John Redcorn.
Eddie Redmayne.
It sounds like what Daniel
that was Snyder a horrible was, impression. That was a horrible, but yes, it was Asian.
Eddie Redmayne.
If they changed the name Redskins to Redmaynes, would that be less?
That'd be way
less,
better.
That'd be
they
less.
Just have
racist.
A horse with like a red mane. Yeah, your impression probably gave nod to the fact that the Native Americans came over from the Bering Strait from Asia. Maybe that's what you were doing.
That's what I was doing.
History lesson.
That's very good.
You ever do an impression or an imitation or just an accent as soon as it comes out? You're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
In my head, it was perfect. Yep. Or a song. You're like... Never gonna give you up. Oh, what was that?
Yeah, like my Michael Keaton starts off like that. It starts off like it's gonna be decent. And it turns into like Will Arnett.
Where's it going?
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, Birdman. What'd you guys think?
I thought
I think he's winning it, Ari.
I do not think he's winning it, but I think that
I think he's winning it right in your face.
Yeah. Zero nominations, zero awards for him.
No, he's ever in life. I mean, he's been nominated for a bunch of other things, but Oscars, yeah, it's his first. And then I think that Eddie Redmayne will win.
Yeah. What's the theory of everything
Eddie
about?
Eddie Redmayne played Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And you see him go through his entire lifespan where he was a healthy dude and then he became...
See, now, here's a lot of people, and we'll get to this in a couple.
Though. He's winning everything. He won the Golden Globe. He won the BAFTA. He won the SAG Award. He's winning
everything. So you kind of have to be an asshole to be like, well, we don't agree with all those other people. You have to be like, all right, they're all pretty smart. All of them voted for this guy? Fine. I'll vote for him, too.
Michael Keaton's...
Golden Globe.
He won a Golden Globe.
Because he won for comedy and Redmayne won for drama.
Yeah.
What do you want for comedy? Duplicity?
For Birdman. They it was
called that a comedy.
I guess it can be.
Comedy. Why don't they have a comedy section in the Oscars?
Great.
I mean, it's like people are making movies that are supposed to be comedies
because they're not serious.
And don't go comedy and musical. Comedies.
Yeah. What? Well, I don't.
Yeah, they're not serious enough. They're not serious enough to get the best.
Best
picture. What was like Annie Hall? What would that have been nominated for? Or was it even nominated?
It was nominated for best
picture.
Yeah,
probably best director too.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Look, a lot of people have been talking. Best comedy has been talked about.
Best
for a
action
long time.
Movie.
Well, that's like if you have to, but you got to be careful because then you start getting the MTV awards.
Right.
But I think best comedy is something. Best comedy is one where it just everyone you talk to people. Most people you talk to them on the street. What's your favorite genre of film? They comedy. Say comedy.
Yeah, Jackass should get awards.
It would. I mean, the funny thing is, was it Jackass? I think something. Jackass was nominated. No. Bad Grandpa last year was nominated for something.
For best makeup?
Could be.
Maybe.
Or they'll do like best song for South Park.
It was something.
You know, where it's like, we'll get you guys in somehow.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like, okay, the summer movies, like you said, the blockbuster shitty movies usually. But they're good for popcorn or whatever. But then you get like a Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, you should stand out.
Right.
You were way better than the garbage they usually put out for us
Captain
in that
America
genre.
Too,
yeah, sometimes they just throw those
fuck
into
that.
The...
No way was that good. Was that good?
Dude, it was awesome. It was like a spy thriller. It was
Captain
great.
America 1 was terrible.
1 wasn't that good. 2 was awesome.
I thought
they
1 was awesome.
Up.
What?
Did you?
I thought 1 was awesome.
Okay, here's what it lost me. So he's chasing after the guy that killed the professor who turned him into somebody big. Yeah. Chasing after him barefoot.
Yeah.
That's fine. He's gigantic now and
he's
has heart.
Dying-harding it, yeah.
The guy grabs a kid... Puts a gun to his head, and Captain America, he's not Captain America yet, but he's pretty much... He goes, oh, okay. And the guy's like, yeah, stay back. And then he throws the kid into the water and then runs away again. Keep the kid with you. And just say, get the fuck back or I'll shoot the shit out of him.
So you hate
that's
the
it. End of the movie.
Because one guy made a bad play in a...
Nobody made
situation.
That play again. Same shit with when he did the fucking Avengers, and everyone's getting killed, and the fucking aliens are coming. He's like, "Oh, we gotta save these citizens." Hey, guess what? I've looked at the movie. At least 50,000 people died. At least 50,000 people.
True. Yeah,
and you're gonna save those four?
Yeah.
Get rid of the fucking aliens.
And worry about the other four.
You didn't train for the army? Come on, man.
Did you not like the Avengers?
Just that part made me mad.
That part. Okay, but I'm telling you,
I like the Avengers.
Winter Soldier was a
really? Yeah, oh, I'll go see it then. If you say that, I'll see it.
I didn't, and I'm with you on the first one. First one was a bit
cheesy. Cheese dickish.
Cheesy.
And they're like, "Well, that's what he is." I'm like, "Well, then I'm not interested in what he is."
The second one changes the shit up.
You know how hard it is to make a Captain America movie?
Dude, fuck you. You know how hard it is to cook a meal for people? Yeah, these are hard jobs. Fucking make it right.
They did.
They did. Look,
they totally made it right.
They did enough to where it made money and it
did more than enough.
I'm telling you though.
I wonder which one was worse. That Superman, the new Superman, or Captain America 1?
I'd say the new Superman's worse.
Yeah, because all of a sudden he just walks out and then just wanders and finds the fucking the ship.
Captain America at least had a story. Man of Steel, there's just nothing really to grasp onto. Yeah.
That's Zack Snyder though.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Well, let's talk about Eddie Redmayne for a second. This Native American who's like really, best since Charlie Hill. Oh, yeah, Charlie Hill should have gotten this role. How's he doing lately?
Charlie Hill is, he's opening for Geraldo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, is Hawking's okay, though, right?
Hawking is healthy as a horse.
But, you know, the only thing that might hurt Eddie Redmayne, though, is this Jupiter Ascending movie that just came out.
Why? He's in that?
He's in it. He plays the villain. Everybody, it's like his Norbit.
And his cheese dick.
Yeah.
Like this the entire film.
Oh.
And it's just so over the top.
Sometimes guys go for a character choice, and it's like that works in an acting class scene when you're doing it for 4 minutes, but like it gets cloying after a while.
It does. But that's also
it's
a Wachowski's
when the dude is nominated for all these awards, and his team is like, do not mention that he is in Jupiter Ascending.
Right.
Get him as far away from that movie.
Luckily, nobody saw it, so that was good.
True.
But here's my question. So he plays Stephen Hawking, and I've seen the commercials. He kind of looks like he nails it. But to be an actor, it's not just an impression. You're not doing an impression.
I agree, 100%.
And so you really have to get the emotional weight there. And to see him go from normal to fucked up and to have to deal with that emotionally and the people in his life and to bring you in. It's not just an impression. That's part of it. You should do that. You should do an accent if you're playing British. But, like, you got to do more.
You nailed it.
And you think he did more?
What you just described is exactly what he did. Like
right.
That is exactly what he did from the moment
for a Native American.
For Native Americans to play a white British man.
Yeah, but from the moment you see him as a functioning adult, and then you watch this thing just take over him. But it's not just about, hey, I can play Stephen Hawking and do the voice and do the emotions. You feel for this character. You understand why? Because of what Eddie Redmayne was able to do.
I'll compare it to comedy, where it's like, if you have an impression when a Bill Clinton joke, it's like, that's cool, but you got to have the joke there, and the impression adds more, but
what are you saying?
Just the impression is like only 20% of it. So Eddie Redmayne nailed it. Now, in that same breath, someone who did a good impression and was garbage elsewhere, American Sniper. There was nothing there acting wise.
I thought he
nailed the impression, and that's it.
I thought Bradley Cooper was phenomenal.
Oh, what
in a character study movie?
It wasn't even a character study movie.
He shouldn't have been nominated.
There was nothing. When he's in that bar and she's like, where are you? He's like, I just need a little bit of time. It came out of nowhere and then it went nowhere. Just a placed in scene. And I know that's fucking Clint Eastwood's senile fault, but he didn't give me shit. Even when they saw 9/11 on the screen and they stood up like, oh no, what's happening? You could almost hear Clint Eastwood behind the camera going, okay, feel it. Remember, America's your home. So it's like, pull it back though. Now you stand up, go over to him.
Is it lunch yet?
When he says they're going to war at the wedding, they're dancing, all the Marines like, yeah. I'm like, guys, get into it if you're going to get into it. And then he's like, okay. And then just stands there.
Really?
God, just garbage. A garbage performance.
Oh, I thought
I think it was like mid-level acting class.
Wow. I thought he was good, but I don't think he should have been nominated over
anybody. Jake, it was a bad performance.
Jake Gyllenhaal should have been
Jake
in there.
Oh, absolutely. Way more interesting.
Yeah. Or David Oyelowo.
Oh, yeah, David
Oyelowo.
Selma.
He played Martin Luther King.
They are worried about the fucking same reason anybody's worried about American Sniper. They're worried about being called un-American if they don't like his fucking acting performance.
But I think they should not worry about it, considering that movie made like Avatar money.
I know.
So much
money. Because the commercials had good action in it.
So much.
I went in thinking
they're always controversial too around the Oscars. Like Saving Private Ryan
lost
to Shakespeare in Love for Best Picture.
Right.
What a terrible movie that was.
Saving Private Ryan?
No, not Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, American Sniper.
Yeah. Logan. You're really upset about this.
Really upset.
Yeah.
I'll start from here. Over the top, everything over the top. Opening scene. He's lining up. He's going to have to kill a kid.
I thought that scene was mesmerizing.
First of all, they just shove it down your throat like, just so you know, anyone in this town is a militant. We've evacuated the town, so anyone here is trying to kill us. Great, we get it. It's completely justified killing, whatever's about to happen. It's so fucking obvious. It took me out of it. So he's lined up. He sees this kid who might have an IUD, might not, a grenade or something. Right. And he goes, I think it is. He goes, hey, air support, can you get verification on that? They're like, no, we can't get a read. It's your call. And the spotter... All the snipers have that spotter with him, with the binoculars. He's just going with his back to the wall. So Bradley Cooper's staring at this kid. That guy's got his back to the kid and go, if you're wrong about this, they'll fry you in Leavenworth.
Help me, fuckface.
Yeah, it's like, pick up your fucking binoculars. How about, don't say a fucking word. If you're not going to help, don't fucking jinx me. Don't put pressure on this shot. What kind of movie is that?
He does yell at him once. He says, don't fucking touch me at one point.
I think later, way later. This is what they go through on an everyday
that
basis.
That is not what they go through. Somebody not even helping as you're about to kill a kid.
You know what I would say about that? I think that
and then
that
no movie, emotional, like, fuck, I just shot a kid.
There
just
was
a slight
that.
Moment
there
of like,
was
I didn't, no,
there
he just goes,
that.
I didn't think that would be my first shot. And then he was fine.
I don't think he was fine, Ari.
I believed him.
The whole movie is about that he wasn't fine.
He was, though. The only thing he said he had a problem with was that he couldn't protect more Marines. There was no problem.
That's what he tells his therapist when you can see in behind his eyes he's going through all this PTSD stuff.
But what I will say is it was a really good...
Barely.
I thought it was a really good scene.
Let me just look and do nothing and look at a fucking monitor. And the only way you can tell he's going through anything is by the sound effects of the war on the screen that's not on.
Subtext, Ari.
He's just sitting there. No, he didn't do any eye twitches. He just sat there.
There's a
look, when you watch a movie super high, the one thing you can see through is bad acting. When you watch The Wire high and the lesbian cop is so like, good. Oh, she's not as good as the other ones. You can just tell.
That show's so fucking good.
That show's good, but that lesbian cop was not as good an actor as that Irish guy.
You're right, McNulty.
You think that weed is a performance-enhancing drug when you're watching a film. You think that you can actually have
You pay attention to more.
You can be...
You can see through. You can like, oh, I see you running lines. I can see you running lines.
Trust me, I could see all the shit in that movie.
But you're sure it's not just you're really fucking high.
No, both. Because the drill sergeant, the beginning, fucking great. That guy was great.
Okay.
The black drill sergeant, yeah. I like that guy. He was believable, totally fine. She and him and their love story was fucking completely not set up.
Forced.
And garbage. I saw you take that ring off. And then the guy's like, can I buy you a drink? Okay. Oh, great. Now we're in love. Scoot past it. It was like an outline of a movie. They're like, and then here's a scene, you know, I'll kind of pick her up. They'll be in love. Okay, move on. Like, shouldn't we shoot that? Like, nah, we just shot the outline.
Yeah. Well, I understand criticism. He's notorious
for one take.
More.
What?
Clint Eastwood is notorious for one take.
I know, for him. Not for his fucking, yeah, do more takes. Yeah.
Too notorious.
I think that it helps to do more takes.
He doesn't have a lot of time.
Sharon Stone had, apparently when she did Casino, they had to like slow down filming because she was so bad. They took her 1,000 times to get it right, but in the end, she got it right.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
I want to read more about that.
Have you not heard that?
It takes. It took the Basic Instinct. Remember the famous leg.
Leg crossing. Yeah.
I wonder
well,
how many.
They lied to her at one point because she didn't know there was something. There's a big conspiracy with it. They said they were going to tape. With her with the underwear. I can't remember what it was. She had a big problem. She didn't want that scene to be
well,
in the
I'm
film.
Glad they didn't go with her.
I thought it was so good. She nailed it. She, the way she looked at them as she was doing it.
Yeah.
Look at my pussy.
Really dirty. It was actually shot in an AA meeting. What do you got?
So Benedict Cumberbatch is the only other contender. I think that this is Keaton's.
Yeah.
And Carell, too, for Foxcatcher.
Carell didn't have a shot. Carell's
like, it's congrats on getting nominated.
Yeah, Carell was
a supporting
those
type
actor.
Of people do like Steve Carell from
they
The
do,
Office.
But not for this.
Not for this.
No,
okay.
He's a supporting actor, and he I think he got in there luckily, too. And I think that it's between Redmayne and Keaton.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least if Bradley Cooper won't get I'm happy.
Will.
Wait, what have we missed? Best Director?
Best Director and Best Picture.
Let's go. Oh, those are the next two.
Yeah, so we'll do directing.
Best Supporting.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if there's any big ones here.
For Achievement in Directing.
Oh, that's before, yeah. Okay. And then documentary, editing, foreign language film, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we're not doing any of those. There's nothing there.
Congrats to all the winners and nominees. But
right, let's do original screenplay.
We'll see you on the internet the next day when we check.
Let's do original screenplay. Nightcrawler, Grand Budapest Hotel, Foxcatcher, Boyhood, Birdman.
For directing?
No, writing.
Oh,
what was the last one?
Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Budapest Hotel, Nightcrawler.
I'd say Birdman.
Shit.
Birdman was shot so interestingly.
Is Whiplash on there?
No.
Oh, it's for writing. It's
and plus writing. How are you going to have best writing when the last 9 minutes is half a page on a script?
It is nominated. That's
adapted. That's adapted. Yeah.
So
I might go Nightcrawler, Grand Budapest.
I would say Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. I think Grand Budapest is going to win that
writing.
I think Grand Budapest is going to win writing, but I'm rooting for Birdman.
Yeah.
Right.
That could go anywhere.
I think that's the one that they give it.
I just saw Budapest recently,
yeah.
And I wouldn't be upset if that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's well written and it's shot beautifully.
Yeah. It's just shot beautifully.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
I really enjoyed it.
That was a really good movie. I didn't have any problems with it. Yeah. It was like when you see a movie where you're like start to finish, you're like, that's really solid, man.
It had an old Charlie Chaplin feel to it also, a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you high when you saw it?
I was on a plane. I might have been. I might not have been. I don't know. Right. I mean, a lot of times I'm on heavy edibles then. But let's do directing.
Let's do it.
Now, directing... I have had problems with this category for a while because a lot of times they'll give it to not to actual direction and directing, but just like, this movie was good, so you must be good too. But like when you get a movie that lost Pulp Fiction, that lost to Robert Zemeckis for best directing for Forrest Gump, and then well, you're like, well, there was a lot of cool special effects in there. It's like, yeah, that's true, but... Pulp Fiction can be studied in film class. The directing, the angles he uses, and the
and
stuff.
And it was his story, so he was directing his story and knowing all the characters.
The way they show him when he's in it, when actually Tarantino's in it, they show him through a car window, never dead on, because he's trying to say, like, even as the director of this, I have no control over these stories. I'm on the outside looking in. Shit like that, it's like, that's
really
directing.
Good. That's really good what you just said.
I studied it for...
It sounds like
it. Yeah, I watched it like 14 times in 2 weeks in college.
It's a great film.
I wanted to do a paper on it for college and because we were doing American directors and Tarantino wasn't one of the ones we were studying. it was still kind of early.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want to write my paper on him. He's an American director, but not... And he goes, okay, you can do that, but you've got to watch this movie like at least 10 times in a row before you can write this paper. And so I did. I think I watched it 13 times in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And by the 10th, 11th time, I was discovering new things.
Really?
Yeah, that's how good. I mean, the movie is.
That's
great.
Direction.
Yeah.
What I discovered is every time Look Who's Talking came on. what?
Bruce Willis?
No. Oh, yeah. No, not Bruce Willis. The other guy. Not Luke
Travolta.
Travolta. Okay. Was he in Look Who's Talking?
Yeah, they both were.
They both were. Oh, my God. Reunited. Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think about
that. You picked that up in your 13 times.
No. But every time Travolta came on, there was some mention or image of a race car or a car.
Oh, really?
He's, like, giving it away. So, like, when what's-his-name's eating cereal in his bed, the drug dealer, the white drug dealer eating cereal in his bed, and he OD'd Uma Thurman.
Stoltz.
Yeah, and he's just sitting, watching cartoons. He's wearing a Speed Racer shirt, giving away, like, the phone's about to ring. He's like, oh, who's it going to be? It's about to be Travolta because you're wearing one of those things.
Oh, it's a hint.
Yeah. He goes like, I'm a race car ready to explode. That's when I noticed it. When he's like, I'm a race car in the red. I'm ready to explode here. When he was having to clean up the blood of that guy they were transporting.
That's great.
So then, once you know that, then when Bruce Willis is going back to get his watch, he walks in to his apartment, doesn't know what's going to be waiting there for him, sees nothing's waiting for me, or so he thinks. But as he walks in, the camera, instead of being... from head to about waist, it goes about stomach to knees, and he passes by a bookshelf, and there's a race car, a model race car on the shelf, and he's just telling you, hey, watch out, Travolta's here.
Oh, wow. See, that kind of, but you know what's funny, though? When you say that, also, it all makes sense, and I totally believe that it was set there in motion by Tarantino. But what's funny is then you could see the person who voted for Gump watching Pulp Fiction next year going, ah, shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, know? Hear that. And they're like, oh, really? Directing is a hard one. You really got to study those films to get directing.
So who do you got? Who do you got this year?
Okay, Imitation Game. I don't know it.
Imitation Game is good, but no way does the guy win.
Okay, so I'm going to do it by directing.
Yeah.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Well, maybe.
His shots.
Maybe. The directing in that movie was
always
incredible.
His shots are always set up so symmetrically and sort of cool. Now, the problem is he shoots that stuff a lot.
Yeah. You know
that
right
kind of colorful backgrounds
it.
And stuff.
He's used that material before.
Two guys down a long hallway with doors on either side of them. It's just
what
like,
you can do is you can put a scene on from that movie. Someone would say, that's a Wes Anderson movie. Which one is it? I don't know.
Right.
I think he's the dark horse in this category.
He's a dark horse.
I think he's the dark horse.
That same directing style got people to laugh at, what was the Indian movie he made?
Oh,
the one that he read?
Darjeeling.
What?
Darjeeling Unlimited.
And there were parts of that were super serious.
Yeah.
A lot of it was, actually. And people were still laughing because of his kind of campy directing style. But I mean, Grand Budapest was really good.
Great director, but I don't think he had no shot.
Foxcatcher, tell me what you guys think.
I thought he was good. You know, it's funny because a lot of people have been kind of counting him off. Benedict Miller.
Bennett Miller. Yeah, and I think he played for the Seahawks.
A lot of people were counting him off because what they don't realize is that you got those performances from Carell, Tatum.
And oh, right. There is that, too. An actor's director.
And when you hear the stories, though, when you hear the stories of what he did in order to get those performances, he worked those fuckers to the bone.
The guy from Whiplash, it was like, it's not just this guy was a good drummer. You got him to be a good drummer.
What's impressive about Foxcatcher when you watch it is how much he held back, which I think was a skill of the movie, is that when you're watching it as an audience member, you just want this thing. You're so creeped out, and this movie just seeps into you. You want the action to move faster, but he's holding that note on purpose to make you uncomfortable. So the film achieves its goal as much as any other movie this year. But I think that the achievement
to make you uncomfortable is like people are like, I didn't like it, I was uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, that's what I was trying to do to you.
I didn't like watching it, but it's a really good movie. Right.
That's my point of the movie.
Yeah.
That's my problem when people say I was offended by comedy or what usually that's the one we notice the most. Yeah. I was offended. And you're like, my thought is that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Being offended is an okay feeling to have. You shouldn't not want that. You should feel offense at things, and that's how you know what your lines are.
Yeah, when you see what the movie's about, you should be offended. And
The best I heard, Ron and Fez, somebody called in and was like, you guys haven't been funny all day yet. And he just goes, so? Like, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we're going to change.
Yeah.
I would say you take it. And who else is left there? Because I know
Linklater.
And
these two, I think, are the ones.
Those are your two rich.
You shoot a 12-year movie, just the scope on that. And then also on Birdman, which is this, the no cutting.
It looks like one shot, the whole movie. Yeah.
Here's my only problem with the no cutting in Birdman. I mean, I noticed it, and it was really cool. And plus, when you get the craziness of the backstage at a Broadway play, and it's all fucking nuts and
the
out
cavernous,
there.
Cavernous, the close proximity.
Yeah, and everything happening all at once. So the camera really can move and just keep finding people because, like, shit's going on.
The camera is a character in the movie.
Yeah, but there was a couple times where it cut from daytime to nighttime and they try to keep the camera continuous. And I'm like, this is wrong.
You think it overtook the story at that point?
Yeah, because you're trying to pass 6 hours without it. It made me weary.
Yeah.
It wore me out.
Yeah.
Instead of that's a place where you should have it. I don't mind long shots like in Goodfellas when they go down the under kitchen. The thing. Yeah, but you don't do a whole movie that way.
If that's a conscious choice you're going to make. I agree with you. You can be taken out of it, but if that's a choice you're going to make, that's got to be
absolutely
a sacrifice.
He made a choice, but I don't think he should have made that choice.
But when he did the choice, though, it worked for the overall story, and you got everything. You got the craziness of the theater. You got the shots itself, the special effects for a smaller film like that, and the back and forth of what he said. With the big budget movies against the independent films and the star who was part of the big budget stuff and the superhero movies and the craze to the independent star today and the theater actor. I thought it was a great direction was exactly
direction
what
was amazing.
But I still think that you give it a Linklater because of what he accomplished over those 12 years to be able to put together actors for 2 years.
Who is producer a fucking thing?
No, but I think he's
that's best
too.
Picture. When you win best picture, the producers and then sometimes the stars and the directors come up.
Because producing Boyhood, that's
keep giving this guy money every summer.
I mean, and to make sure to get the actors and get their schedules down, I mean, that's difficult.
Well, they did it, I think, a weekend every year.
How about casting director? How about nailing, like, all those roles? Like, oh, no, we can see where this trajectory is going to go.
Yeah, because otherwise you get the fucking who's the boss thing where you get a kid who's cute, and then 6 years into the show, you're like, oh, this kid's hideous. Fuck, what do we get stuck with?
I think Boyhood's going to win, partially because it was a great job, Linklater's going to win. Because it was an incredible achievement, and it was never done before, and the movie's really good. And I also think Birdman is winning Best Picture. So I think that they give Boyhood the director, and Birdman gets Best Picture.
But when they vote, do they know who's going to win the other thing to give the makeup call to someone else?
I think enough people are voting in their head, because if I was a voter, that's how I would vote.
Like, I'm going to vote for that, so I'm going to give it up to that. Yeah. You know, I heard the Juno director talking about being a film critic.
Jason Reitman?
No.
Yeah, he directed Juno.
Jason Reitman?
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about the one who wrote it, the ex-stripper?
Yeah.
The writer?
Yeah, she didn't direct it.
Oh, okay.
She wrote it. Yeah.
She wrote it.
Dakota, whatever her name is.
Dakota Fanning?
Yeah.
She said that she was talking on NPR about being a film critic, which she
Diablo
was, I guess.
Diablo Cody.
Yeah.
Dakota's right
Close.
There. It's right
Cody,
there.
Yeah. Dakota, Diablo yeah. Cody.
On our basketball team.
She said what she would do is, a lot of times, she gave it up, she goes, I was a bad film critic. She was talking to someone else who was like current film critic, and she's like, you're good at what you do. But she goes, a lot of times if I rated like too many movies in a row that I liked, I would just sort of have to, my mind would just make me shit on this next movie, whatever it was going to be. Unless it was the greatest movie of all time. I was like, nah, here's why it's terrible. And just focus on the negative. Do you guys find yourself doing that?
No, not really, because I think what we've always tried to do since we started doing this is
people don't know, I'll say in the intro, but you guys have a podcast called Schmoes Know.
Yeah, Schmoes Know, and on our YouTube channel now.
And YouTube channel is a bigger thing.
Yeah, last year when we did the show, I think we were like 65,000. We're at 141
what?
Now.
Subscribers?
141,000, yeah.
Subscribers. Wow, that's great. Really?
Yeah.
It more than doubled.
It's about doubled, yeah.
Wow.
All thanks to you, buddy.
And so people go, all the reviews of every movie that comes out, you guys have them.
Yeah, pretty much every film. There's sometimes if one of us had, I didn't see the Grand Budapest, and then Christian picks up the slack. So,
oh, really?
If we miss one, then the other person's usually there to pick it up.
Do you end up seeing it later? We're like, I couldn't because I had shit to do. But
sometimes. Especially with Oscars, you want to see everything so you can have conversations that are enlightened like this. But
yeah. You don't have to watch the Pokemon movie, but like.
No, like he watched Boy Next Door. I'm not going to go back and watch that with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, but that's the thing, too, is that the way films play out now is that when you see them, there is going to be ones that are better or worse. And sometimes it can get into your head a little bit, but it's. I don't think it's that tough of a gig to be able to be unbiased when you go into a movie.
What we also have the luxury of doing is that we don't work for anybody. We work for ourselves. Like, a lot of times, whether the big trades, like, when you
when you're forced to, like
you
something.
You have certain reviews. I'm sure Cody was hired by someone to do these reviews.
Remember that Borat thing when he was like, what do you think of Paris Hilton's? Oh, what a terrible impression.
See, that was not good. That was a terrible impression.
I agree with you.
Asian. That impression too.
And he goes, what do you think of Paris Hilton's dress? And like, oh, it's terrible. Like, oh, no, guys, actually, Hilton's are a sponsor of this show. So if you could. And they all go, oh, we loved it.
Yeah, you're right.
It was you guys have no.
Right.
You have nothing.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's great. Yeah. It's good to remember that shit every so often. Yeah. So when we do shit, it's like, oh, yeah.
But I'll tell you this. If I'm rating my iTunes and just trying to.
My place stoned, I think.
What?
Borat? Borat one day. It was the Ali G show. We were all watching boxing match. I think we turned on Ali G.
Oh, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
But I will do this. I'm rating my iTunes. I'm rating my songs. If I give too many, 4 and 5 star, I'll just, I feel the need to. Now, maybe it's different when you don't watch two same things in a row.
Oh, okay.
Like, by the next day.
I got a good story, though.
Okay.
So, I was at the Omaha Funny Bone, right?
Yeah.
And I was headlining, and before my set, I had to be the judge in a comedy contest. So, there's 8 comics that go up, and they're newer open micers. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this. You sit in the back, and you rate them. There's, 5 categories on, originality, material, presentation, all that stuff. And I found myself, I liked the first guy, so I gave him a lot of 4s and 5s. And then the second guy was like, oh, he's good, too. And then it's like,
ooh, how do I get it better?
They can't all be that good. So, I just kind of, in my head, decided, I'm not going to give anybody lower than a 3 unless they totally shit
are terrible.
The bed.
Yeah, just don't be mean.
It was hard to... Right, I think that we've been doing it for long enough now. We have a better perspective than you would if you were doing
it. It's
new
almost
form.
Like, let me give you my votes after you guys are all done.
Yeah.
Because then you have to go I give you a 4. I'll give you a 4.2.
I will say, I try not to read or listen or watch anybody else's reviews before I see it, because I don't want to be, I want to have my own
influenced by that. That's smart. Because you do really want to get, what was it like? I mean, a lot of it, too, though, you have to, what do you guys think? Is a lot of the movie experience who you're with and the mood you're in when you go see a movie.
Sure.
When you go to press screening sometimes, especially comedy, they'll pack in a bunch of fans. We saw the 50 Shades of Grey last night, and the way that they stack it is that the back 5 rows are all...
You guys?
No, are all fans.
Oh.
Like it was predominantly females who read the book, and the 5 front rows are predominantly females who read the book. Then critics are all in the middle. So we're kind of sandwiched in between these groups. And so... Just by osmosis, it's like, oh, I guess this movie is doing something.
A great example of that was the Wedding Ringer. The Wedding Ringer was one of those radio screenings where they would get press screens, but then radio contests, they would have these fans come in. And the fans they brought in were just going crazy.
Loved it.
And I actually found myself probably laughing more than I would have
because
of the press screening.
For comedies, for sure that matters.
Yeah.
A full theater as opposed to an empty theater.
Like watching a great set in here in front of
6 people.
6 people, and then watching in front of 6,000.
Yeah. That's why I say live stand-up comedy is never, it's always going to be better than anything on TV. You don't have the people around you. You don't
just
have 75
imagine,
people around you. You
imagine if Comedy Central called you and they're like, hey, all right, don't worry, we're running your special paid regular as planned, but the laughs messed up, the crowd mic's messed up.
So we're just going to have your mic.
It's just going to be you, and you can't hear the crowd reaction.
It would be horrible. Well, that's why in the manager's office, when they get the feed that goes through the manager's office so we can hear what's going on stage, you don't get the audience mic. sounds like everybody's bombing.
The manager's in there just like, nobody's good.
Oh, and you go up like, oh, I want to see this bomb. And you go up and they're doing fine. And you're like, what? And you go back to the manager's office and they're bombing again. So when there's people you don't like, listen to the manager's office.
We're not paying him his 15 bucks tonight.
Hey, sidebar. What did you guys think of Kingsman?
Loved it.
Loved it. Me too.
Kingsman's one of my favorite movies. So
God, the action was great.
Loved it.
They flew me to London to do promos for it, Viacom.
Dude, it's so awesome.
It was insane.
I went to spy school.
It is a crazy movie.
Crazy.
It is, and it's such a great... I thought it was... We said that it's got elements... Because he directed X-Men First Class. It's got elements.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got elements of that as far as the big budget. But then you mix in...
The slow-mo shots?
And he also directed Kick-Ass.
God. Oh, really? What's his name?
Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn. Dude, that guy's great.
Awesome. Yeah. Layer Cake he directed.
I didn't see Layer, but I saw X-Men First Class and that. And I'm like, man, really that's...
I love the way the movie kicked off with the opening. The opening song hooks you, and then the way that they that those credits came
and with the boulders coming out and like turning into stuff.
It was such a fun, cartoony, over the top, but you still felt real enough. Samuel Jackson was a great villain. Yeah. Colin Firth, that kid was
the Asian lady was great. The kid was really solid.
Didn't the kid remind me like at the very end? Reminded me had like a DiCaprio thing going on. Like
that, you see that movie, you're like, oh, you should be a star.
He's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Easily.
And like when you see what's name from Star Wars, the Star Trek, the first time you saw him, you're like,
Chris
Pine. Yeah, you're like, who is he? You're like, oh, you'll be somebody big. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, though, because when you watch just everything, that movie was so insane.
So violent.
It had Kill Bill elements also, as
Dude,
well.
Dude, let's not spoil anything, but the church was
the church
such a great
was
scene.
Nuts. It was. Did you see The Raid 2?
I have to see those.
You got to see them, man.
Oh, you love
it. It had elements.
That's what Meyerowitz says.
I was talking
to... You would love those.
It's a guy who runs... He used to write for Anacle News, and now he runs his own site at HitFix, Drew McWeeny, who we were talking about this last night. I ran into him. And he had said, and I agree with him, that the fight team, the fight choreography team behind this movie is second behind The Raid, and I totally agree, because what they've done so far, and you watch the fighting, it was
the choreography.
Oh man,
Colin Firth is an action star,
and you believed every second of it.
Yeah, there was no like what it was like.
Liam Neeson running in Taken 3. You
know, yeah,
like, yeah, it was him.
And Taken, so Taken.
What's that?
Let's just go Taken.
Did you watch him in Taken 3? They have shots of him running. It is
embarrassing. It's embarrassing. He's
really?
Just, like running like for like
an old
10
man.
Seconds, and it's like you don't have a good gait.
Right.
He's not sinewy.
Yeah, like if you can't do this, don't shoot it.
Yeah.
Don't shoot it like that.
It felt weird.
Yeah, but Kingsman was really good, right?
So I loved it. I loved that movie.
Every time, like when I see movies, I'm like, oh, here they go, about to do the same shitty things movies always do. You ever see Third Watch?
No.
Or
show?
Night Watch? No, the
End
movie.
End of Watch?
End of Watch.
End of Watch.
With Gyllenhaal and
David Ayer.
So it's long enough, I don't care, I'll spoil it. But like, so at the end, they're surrounded by bad guys, they're all shooting at them. And in my head, I'm like, fucking movies, you can't get out of this. When you have 20 people shooting at you and you have no cover and backup, you can't get out of this. You'll have to die. And then they die and like, oh, good job, movies.
Right.
Fucking good job.
Good job,
movies. Way to keep it realistic.
Right.
And fucking...
Kingsman.
Kingsman did that. Every time I was like, they're going to make cheese dickish. And you're like, oh, no, it was actually good.
Well, it's the same thing with 22.
Dear movies.
Dear movies.
I just saw your film End of Watch.
Well, did you see 22 Jump Street?
Yeah, 21. I saw 21.
22 does what they do well is they play off the joke that this is the second movie. We're doing this shit all over again and deal with it. I think Kingsman does the same thing where they go like, no, it's not this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they play
That's
on
not that
it.
Kind of movie.
And they play on that, and they play on the spy genre thing and everything too, and the villain and the over-the-top villain and his henchmen, and they play on all that stuff, and they're hitting you over the head on purpose and letting you know this is that kind of fun movie. It is with a hard rated R. That is not for the faint of heart, that movie.
And it will
it's
not
a
be
hard
nominated.
Rated R.
It will not be nominated for any Oscars.
But if they had like a best action category, like
then
that's one like Guardians of the Galaxy. We're like, well, this was a good movie. Well,
early
go the whole way.
He was rumored to be the director. Matthew Vaughn was supposed to be the director of the new Star Wars movie before J.J. Abrams got it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now he's.
Oh, I must fucking be mad about that. But
well,
you know
he's
what?
Still he's still on. He's probably still going to do one.
Yeah.
He'll do. They're coming up with a Star Wars movie every year now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, standalone movies and episodes
like James Bond.
Kind of like, so they'll do like spin-offs, like because there's so many time periods.
Oh yeah, you can do any fucking Jedi from anywhere.
Years,
once you realize what they did, where it's like, oh, there's 100 Jedis out there. They're all over the universe,
there's
and you can just go to any world and have an adventure.
And
look how excited you are!
I just got excited.
Yeah.
Do you still say the new Star Wars are good, Ellis?
The prequels?
Yeah, the prequels.
No.
Okay, at the time, you and Brett Ernst were like on that bandwagon.
What I have experienced in the last 10 years, Ari.
Yeah.
Is a slow decline.
Who's the hottest one? That one.
I've slowly seen the light, but it was
you have
really
seen the
hard.
Light. It took me a week and a half to see the light. For the first
Which
week and a half
a
after it came out, I was like, good movie. And everyone was like, was it? Like in the back of their head, like, was it a good movie?
You had that weird feeling like, I need to see it again. I need to see it again.
It's fucking horrible.
It's horrible. Yeah. And then Brett would say things like, no, they're setting stuff up. And like, you can't. That's not a reason to be a bad movie. Yeah. And also, then you find out later, like, they're not setting shit up.
No,
they didn't set anything up.
There's a book that I just read recently. It was How Star Wars Conquered the Universe by Chris Taylor. And he breaks down everything of not only how the original trilogy came to be with Fox and all the shit he went through to get it made, but then the time period in between up to the prequels and all that, like how it just switched. He was during the original movies.
Yeah.
He was bouncing shit off of Brian De Palma,
really?
And Francis Ford Coppola,
right? And then he started thinking he was great.
And he would he didn't listen to anybody. And he wrote in the original trilogy for the first script. He wrote four different drafts.
Yeah.
And eventually the fifth one was the one that they went with because he had notes. He wrote two drafts of the Phantom Menace. The first one was better than the second draft that he went with.
Really?
Yeah. And then he's changed shit up, and then you got Jar Jar.
Because you have that's why Pauly's movies have all been terrible since he because once he starts directing himself, no one's telling him like, oh, that was good, but too much.
It's like Beetlejuice, man. One more time, he's gonna show up a face on Love again.
Right. Oh yeah. Good point.
Should be careful.
What were we just talking about?
Best Picture.
No. Before no? What were you just saying?
Star Wars.
Oh yeah, Star Wars. Have you ever seen the things that when they put them in order? Of like different people's order.
Yeah.
The one is like all chronological. So even the flashbacks are like they put him where they should be. It runs all the way through. But there was another edit I've seen where it was like some other order where it's like they made it about Darth Vader.
Right.
And they made that his story the whole way.
So it's episodes 4, 5, 3.
Yeah, something like that.
And then 6.
And then 1, 2.
You could watch 1 and 2, but you don't have to.
Right.
You watch 2 if you want.
2 was great, though.
No, Attack of the Clones?
Oh, no. I'm thinking 5. Yeah.
2 is the worst.
5 was probably the best. The darkest themes.
The best.
And, like, Han Solo's dead at the end, pretty much.
Almost.
I still think it's one of the coolest things that George Lucas did is he called the first movie Episode 4. And it's like, yeah, motherfuckers, we got a whole lot of stories
we're going
to be
telling. For a long time, which was crazy.
He changed it, yeah.
You read that, like, again, they show more of that book. It was just called, originally, it was just called The Star Wars.
Oh, really?
And then they changed it to The Star Wars. And then after, I think when the first time you ever saw Episode 5, an episode at all, was when Empire. They never aired Episode 4 until the re-releases.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it said in the book.
Wow, okay.
They never what? Episode 4?
Episode 4, when it originally came out in 77, it didn't say Episode 4 during that opening crawl. It just said Star Wars. And then
it started saying Episode 4?
When Empire Strikes Back came out.
Did it say New Hope?
No.
Wow.
Wow, interesting.
No. All right.
You know, artists will do that where they'll like reclaim their own work, and the people that are fans are almost mad at them for doing that because it's
Lucas
like it's not up
to
you.
Perfect example of that, like with the special editions, all the changes he made for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like get it out of here. Yeah. Get the CGI. It's CGI.
I feel like sometimes, even though that was your baby, it's art, and the same way that the Mona Lisa belongs to all of us,
to the world now,
and not to Da Vinci. It belongs to all of us.
Spielberg apologized for doing it because after Lucas did it, he went back and changed some stuff with E.T.
He took out the guns
and made him walk and talk. No,
he took out the line penis breath.
He took that out too. But he also he took out the guns.
It's like time and place, man.
But he apologized for doing it. He said he was ashamed of himself
for doing
it.
I think penis breath is pretty universal. That's not limited to the 80s, Ari. You can call somebody a penis breath.
No, but it's like, so what did he change it to?
He was listening.
Dickwad?
He was listening to Lucas.
Man. I didn't hear
because Lucas wanted to change everything for a friend.
Raymond Carver had his book, a short story book. What we talk about when we talk about love, and it was an amazing book. But it's all about alcoholism and horrible relationships. And then later in life, he found a wife and he found happiness, and he went back and rewrote all those short stories. People got super mad. Like, what are these happy endings?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's my books, it's my stories, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Like, no, you're not.
You're not yours anymore.
You already gave it to us. Yeah, you can't take it back.
Right, that's true.
It's like, it's like if they went back and they put like a new guitar solo at the end of Hotel California. It's like, no, that's all of ours. Right. You can't do that.
Right.
So I would, for director, I would say either Boyhood or Birdman.
Yeah,
but then outside, like, I'd be upset, but not crazy upset if it was Grand Budapest.
Yeah, I think that's
exactly
my
order.
I think I'm with you. I think Linklater will probably win it.
Yeah, I think Boyhood's winning.
Yeah,
the Linklater's winning for best.
Richard Linklater.
Yes.
What else did he do?
Days of Confused.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he do that? Like
and Slacker.
Did he do the one that was like half cartoon, half real? What was that called?
Shit,
I had my so-called life, real life, something
Robert
life.
Daddy Jr.
Half life
adaptation.
No.
No.
I'll say
it
a second.
Was like cartoons that looked exactly like the people. So they acted it out and they just cartooned it up.
I have no idea.
They drew a cartoon over the real acting.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Something like
famous people in it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Woody Harrelson.
Iron Man was in it.
Downey Jr., yeah.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Something life.
Ah, shit.
My guess is that his life is in the title, but I don't really know.
Shit, you're right. Damn.
Well, he also did Before Sunset. He did all those.
Who's the schmo now?
Well, you don't know it either.
Life.
He did
something. Life.
He did School of Rock. He did Boyhood. He did Before Midnight, Up to Speed, Bernie.
Not Quarter Life.
Me and Orson Welles. He did Scanner Darkly.
Scanner Darkly.
That's right. Well, Philip K. Dick story.
Really?
So you didn't know that.
School of Rock was one of my favorites. Waking Life. Is that the one?
Waking Life.
Waking Life. Because Scanner Darkly was the other one, too. You did two of them.
Yeah, Waking Life. Back to
Waking Life is the one. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
All right.
Now, Best Picture.
Best Picture. Whiplash. We talked about that. It was amazing. I loved that movie.
Great.
I loved it.
It's like a thriller.
Yeah, I loved Whiplash.
It really gets you.
Of a music,
I mean,
teacher.
You get into it.
Yeah.
If you tell me there's going to be... I mean, I knew nothing about it going in. I intentionally, like, I knew J.K. Rawlings was in it.
Simmons. Rawlings wrote the Potter movie.
And so well. And she did such a masterful performance of this, playing the guy from Oz.
How brave to shave her head.
How brave. I mean, I was so... If you told me it was a bit about a fucking jazz... Like, there's no way I'd watch it.
Like, if you said, like, what was it about? I start telling you, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I only knew J.K. Simmons was in it, and that's it. And, man, I loved it.
Everybody who sees that has the initial reaction when you tell them about it, and then when they see it, they have the same reaction. Like,
there's a middle section there. The car is amazing.
The car is a little silly.
It shouldn't have flipped.
It should have just been an easy crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can still have bloody face after that.
It was so...
What's up, Polly?
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. Third year in a row.
You say it three times in a row.
Baby weasels. We're all like 40 now, though.
You say it.
Wow. I can't believe
it. Did I not call them?
What did I say?
Wow.
So you say it three times in a row.
And you did. He showed up five minutes later.
I said Pauly Shore's not going to show up because there's an A meeting going on. The A meeting let out. Now Pauly's
And then Pauly's right there. Like, he's waiting at the end of the block.
Think about that.
Wow.
Every year. This is like a tradition now, right?
Wow.
It's like a bad omen if he doesn't show up now.
Is it weird that a guy who's famous for making movies that weren't great?
We're talking about the Oscars.
Like, was Encino Man nominated for anything?
Plus, he can't even spell Oscar. I know he spells it C-E-R. I know he does. There's no way he doesn't.
You gonna ask him the first question when he comes up here?
He's on the spelling level of the cows from the Chick-fil-A commercial.
How do you spell Oscar? You don't have to spell it, bro. You just know it.
What's up, Paul?
What's up, bud?
What's your pick for best picture this year?
Best picture this year for the Oscars.
Birdman.
Paulie says Birdman.
We're on the
Short.
Same page.
Whiplash, pretty good too, though. Oh yeah, I see Whiplash.
Did you see Boyhood?
No way. No way.
No, I want to see that. How's that? That's great.
Hey, Boyhood's really
fantastic.
Boyhood or?
I think Birdman's winning. Up.
Birdman could win. Yeah. I say those are the truth.
Here's the thing about Birdman, and I really did like it, and it was interesting. I suffered a little bit from people telling me it was too good ahead of time, but there were parts that were kind of boring.
For what?
For Birdman. There were parts that were just like, you're boring me now. And then it got me back a little bit, but it was like,
it
just wasn't start to finish.
It didn't blow me away like it blew everyone else. I like Nightcrawler better, to be honest with you. I wish Nightcrawler would have gotten nominated.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of doing something outside the box like that, like Birdman.
Sure. For sure.
Is there anything else on the list that has a shot other than Birdman or Boy?
Oh, wait. Selma was nominated for Best Picture. And is it only nominated because of the theme?
Look, that movie should have been nominated for a lot more than just Best Picture.
You think so?
Yeah, it was awesome.
What about Best Direction?
Absolutely.
People say she wasn't really that good as a director.
I thought she was. There's two
people say she's just doing an important story, but like her direction wasn't really...
I think the context certainly helps, but...
I think she was good, and you know who else got snubbed? We didn't talk about that. It was David Fincher for Gone Girl. He should have been nominated over Imitation Game.
Over what?
I would agree with that.
Imitation Game?
I'd agree with that.
I would put David Fincher for Gone Girl.
That was a good snub.
Yeah.
But Gone Girl wasn't... It didn't hold me enough for Best Picture, even though it's nominated, I think. It didn't hold me enough for Best Picture.
I think if there's one that snuck in there out of nowhere that people were like, holy shit.
You going to say Grand Budapest?
No, I'm going to say Theory of Everything.
So eight. They have eight nominations, and they could have nominated 10 and decided not to?
Yeah, it's a weird way, I don't really understand all the way how it works, but depending on how many votes...
When you nominate eight and you're allowed 10, before it was five, and it's always like the NCAA basketball pool, where like, oh, who got snubbed, who was on the bubble, who should have gotten in?
Yeah.
You know? With five, you have that argument. Well, you have 10, and you only nominate eight, you're saying... Well, these are the only movies.
Well,
so let's just judge them.
It's a matter of votes. It's a matter of votes, or how many you have to hit a certain amount of votes.
I think you should just do top 10 if you're going
to
do 10.
Well, they used to do that. It went from 5 to 10, and then they said, "Oh, let's just do it by vote stuff." They should have just stuck.
Because there's not enough good movies, but it's like
it just reflects poorly on Hollywood because, like, oh, you guys didn't make enough good movies to even fill out your bracket, you know?
Right. Or is it looked at like, well, we have five, but these honorable mentions are sucky to leave off. So let's add another three because they were really good. But
some of the, a lot of those that you're looking at are honorable mentions, though. Like I think
the Theory of Everything
would be an outside contender.
What? What?
Theory of Everything is an outside contender.
What? The Theory of Everything's outside the contender.
Yeah, but I think Gone Girl is.
What's
is
it, what were the outside contenders?
Theory.
The outside
theory
contenders for me are Theory of Everything, Whiplash, and Selma. And I think
as
the
like,
winner,
they could have a chance at winning, but
it's a dark horse.
Dark horse.
The
Birdman.
The,
Birdman.
The front runner is Birdman versus Boyhood, and I think Birdman is going to win.
I probably agree with that, although I think that
Birdman versus Boyhood.
Yeah, but I think that if the Theory of Everything popped in, not Theory of Everything. Yeah, Theory of Everything popped in there and won. It would be a big upset, but I would be like, I saw it coming.
If you tell me of what I saw, what I liked the best was Whiplash, Grand Budapest Hotel,
American
Sniper, and Birdman. My order is this, of what I liked the most. Just like what I left the movie theater going like, my feeling was, you know, that, and even a week later. Because you know why I like Blue Jasmine a lot? I liked it okay. But then a week, 2 weeks later, I was still thinking about it and still talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a good film.
I saw Blue Jasmine.
Dice was good in that, too.
Dice was fine.
Dice was good in that.
But people were like, I'm seeing Oscar. You're like, relax,
no,
bro.
No, no. But he was
It was like, he was good. He was good.
Yeah.
My order would be Whiplash first. Then.
The bees is the question.
The bees.
I'd like to see Whiplash.
Birdman or Grand Budapest? Probably Birdman, then Grand Budapest, and then way, way down is American Sniper.
So you basically think Boyhood's going to win Best Picture because Whiplash is not going to win Best Picture.
I'd love to see it win.
No. I'm saying Birdman and Budapest as the two Bs. I didn't see Boyhood.
Oh, but, you didn't see Boyhood.
But I'm saying I liked Whiplash better than Birdman.
Yeah.
I did too.
So it'd be tough for me to say that should not win the Best Picture. But you think it's going to be Boyhood?
It's going to be between Boyhood and Birdman. And
hey, I need to break in here real quick. But just so you know, Niklaus _ Krauker has liked one of your photos on Instagram.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, I've been waiting for that guy.
Yeah.
Thanks for clicking.
You like the Samsung? Is this a Samsung?
Yeah, it's a 6 Plus.
Oh, it's an iPhone. Okay. Yeah.
Here's what the trend has been recently, more often than not, is that if it's a close race, they'll give it to something that was an artistic achievement or something that was different than the norm. Like when The Artist won, the silent film, won Best Picture.
Because like you're trying
like
some
that,
shit different.
Like,
so that's Birdman.
You really went out of the box a little bit. That's why I think Birdman and Boyhood are both the front runners. And I think Birdman just did that to the nth degree. I think Linklater gets rewarded for Best Director, and because we're giving him that, then we feel no problem giving Birdman Best Picture.
But I don't think
it
works like that, but I do see it playing out like that.
Nobody knows. Nobody has their pulse on old people like Mark Ellis.
But I do think that's a very possible scenario.
Oh, by the way, the guy from Stephen Hawking, he went half retard.
He went
really
full.
Though.
No,
half retard.
Not retarded.
Not by the definition of what that word means.
He went half retard.
His brain is fully functional.
But Man Without a Face with Mel Gibson was nominated because he was all burned face and he had to like not be a child molester. He had to act not like a child molester. That was hard. But like anything like that, they usually give it to those people, right? Physical maladies.
You can say Stephen Hawking. No. He didn't technically go full retard, but that was a hell of a commitment.
No, you know who should have.
I'm saying full retard is too much. They say
that's
half retard is what you want to go.
Well, John Hawks went full in Sessions, and I thought he was going to win. He didn't
get
nominated.
Snubbed,
but never go full retard.
Yeah, Downey was right.
So you think? What do you guys say? Each say it's going to be Best Picture.
Birdman.
You say Birdman.
Yeah, I think Birdman will wind up.
I would not be upset at Birdman. I would not be upset at Birdman. I would like Whiplash, but I would not be upset at Birdman. Whiplash
Birdman.
Is too low budget, I think. But what upsets me is when a movie like In the Bedroom loses to the movie with fucking, what's his name, had split personalities.
Transformers.
No. Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. Which is just a garbage Hollywood movie. And then like you're like, In the Bedroom was like a really good movie. And like when those things lose to those, I'm like, fuck this. Yeah. So like if American Sniper won, I'd be like, I'm not watching the Oscars for a few years.
That would be...
It won't win.
It's going to be too controversial. And it's still...
Win.
Yeah.
Also, they never, ever showed that he had one bad kill. 166 all fine kills. Not once they go, fuck, I shot the wrong person.
Well, even in this book...
God damn it.
Book, he was feeling all these emotions, Ari. Yeah. He was...
The only emotion he felt was that he couldn't protect more Marines, which I believed. I believe that
That's
coming from him.
He told the therapist.
I believe that coming from him.
To himself.
He wasn't lying to himself. He was that. He was always the wolf protecting the fucking sheep. Sheepdog protecting the wolf. Killing the wolf against... You didn't think that scene was overdone? Listen, boy!
The movie...
And then his little brother goes, but Paul, he was protecting me. And then the Paul turns to the little brother, and the little brother has a black eye.
That was,
and he's like, is that true?
That was
like,
overdone.
Well, why'd you think the kid got a black eye?
Right.
I'm not.
Why are you having this speech then?
They didn't play off of that relationship.
Bradley Cooper wasn't.
No, it just shows.
Wasn't in that scene.
It was an outline of a movie. They go. So here's why is this way, right? You get it pretty much, but they don't make you feel it.
Right.
The same difference between Inglourious Basterds and what's the black one? Jamie Foxx movie that he
Django.
Did. And Django. Two scenes that are identical scenes. When Leonardo DiCaprio is talking to him and yeah. Jamie Foxx has his gun here and he goes, if they know who I am, I'm going to have to start shooting right now. And this is fucking a tense scene. That same scene was when he saw the Jewish girl, doesn't know who she is. Christoph Waltz is back and she's like, oh fuck, does he know who I am? Because he's drinking milk. He's like, is she rubbing my face? Inglourious Basterds, that scene was so much more tense. The same scene. But it was so much more tense and believable, and it dragged me in so much more. It wasn't bad in Django. It
pretty good in Django.
It was pretty good.
You're Jewish,
but
not black.
It was maybe I thought of that, but I don't think so. I think it was just really emotionally there. And American Sniper, they just had an outline of what you should feel, but they don't make you feel it. It's a garbage movie, man. Watch it again. It was a garbage movie. The fake baby.
The fake baby.
Come on, man. You're taking us out of this left and right.
I got to see that movie
again.
Why not just
watch shoot without
when he's like, I'm just here. I'm just happy to see my friend Jim again. And he goes, Jim's dead, bro. That's your fucking line? Jim's dead, bro? Dude, that was a garbage movie. He's going to go to war on his wedding day, and she's just touching his lapel, his medal that he has. Oh, you're going to. And then just hold out for about 12 seconds.
All right.
Garbage directing, garbage movie.
Do you think it was a good CNN special?
If it was a movie for on CNN,
yeah,
it would have been good for
That's
that.
That's what I thought it was a CNN special.
Good for TV movie.
The way that everybody reacts to that, it seems more of a Fox News movie, even though I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was terrific. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. I don't think it has a chance. But I thought Bradley Cooper was great.
No, he was awful. He was awful. He was an embarrassment to the acting community.
Can either of you guys name the other? It's an early 90s action film.
Jim's dead,
where
bro.
A wedding gets interrupted by having to go to war.
Four weddings and a funeral.
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Oh, great. Graham's about to get married, and then they all get the beeper.
Boop, boop,
they get a message on their beeper, and they all
got to
go.
The way they reacted when they're going to war, this was their actual reaction. Like, they got the call, like, hey, we're doing it. And they go, just like slight fist pumps. Where you're like, and you could see an acting teacher going, guys, this is actually your dream.
Yeah.
You really want, so there's no overboard. You can't go enough overboard. But you can definitely go too underboard, and that's what you're
Isn't
doing.
Isn't it crazy that dude only does, like, two takes?
One take.
It's like... There's no
it was like they gave him the scenes the night before. So quickly memorize this and then do them.
The movie, he was playing, he's a preacher in one of the scenes. And he said he did it, and he's like, we're ready to go again. And he's like, nah, that's it. You're done. And he's like, that was one.
Really?
Yeah. And he's
that's
like,
so crazy.
I did a commercial like that, the one take, and then we were done. I'm like, oh, come on. Because the actress that I was with pissed off a director, and it was a montage. So I'm like, now he's cutting us out because you didn't fucking know your lines. But he included me. Joe Pitka.
I think that's the majority of... A lot of them are... They're the biggest locks, I think, for sure. Like I said, J.K. Simmons.
There he is again. Chris Kyle.
Possibly, yeah, he's coming to
What do you think he's got
you.
In his little man purse?
You.
His rifle.
Coming after you after talking shit out of this movie.
Fuck him.
Santa Miller's.
Oh, you didn't... this is a problem? You didn't think this is a problem? So it's a 2-hour and 17-minute movie.
Yeah.
So 2 hours and 10 minutes in this movie... Excuse me. Let's say an hour... 50 into the movie. You're like, tour number 4. And you're like, another fucking tour of duty? Combine these goddamn tours. So fucking long.
That's what happened.
Show them less. And it's like, God, this movie's so long. There's no story. There's no plot in that movie at all.
No,
there was no plot.
Character study.
It wasn't a character study. That's what it was set up as. Okay, so an hour 50 and he goes to war. 2 hours and 10 minutes in the movie. He's finally found some, like, oh, here's what I'll do at home. I want to protect Marines. I'll help these Marines go to the shooting range and help them find some meaning in their life.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. I believe that. That part didn't bother me. And then he's like, so now suddenly he's a good father and husband out of nowhere. In like 3 minutes, they just say, oh, now he's great now. No real explanation of how he recovered. Just, no, he's happy taking these guys shooting. But so now he's totally fine. So he takes the guy shooting. He goes, yeah, I got this new Marine I'm going to take. And the Marine gives this probably 75% speed look at the wife. And she's like, oh, like she can sense it.
All right, before he went out.
And then it just goes actual words on the screen. Chris Kyle was killed that day.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that, though. The other stuff I actually can...
What's the reason for showing full 4 tours of duty but not showing the scene where the guy got killed?
Here's why. When they were developing that movie,
Chris Kyle was still alive.
Yeah?
They were on the phone with Chris Kyle as they were in pre-production for that movie.
Yeah.
The script was done without that, and they had already shot...
What was the ending going to be?
It was just going to be him as far as, you know...
playing with his kids.
Yeah, playing with his
kids. Make you happy.
Oh, so no ending.
Playing with kids.
I don't think that's the point.
You know who wasn't dead when they shot that movie?
Clint Eastwood.
Bradley Cooper. Right. Shoot the fucking scene.
Right.
And it's just 7 minutes of fucking real 7 minutes
point.
Of real funeral procession. Show the fucking scene. You're a filmmaker. Make a film.
Hey, remember Whiplash?
Dude, that was garbage. American Sniper. Watch that shit again.
I will.
I want to have a screening. I want to. Okay,
you know what?
You guys know ArcLight and shit.
I'll watch it.
Okay,
high.
Yeah. You guys know ArcLight. Do you think they would let me have a screening there? We call it a mock screening where everyone's allowed to yell shit out like fucking.
Not that movie.
They wouldn't allow...
Not for that one.
No,
too much controversy already.
You got to pitch it differently.
Bootleg, look up screening times right now. I'm doing this right now. We're just gonna fucking sabotage them.
I want you to pitch this.
Look up some movie screenings at ArcLight right now. We're doing this. I'm going to have people come.
Go to the Beverly Cinema because your boy Tarantino has a stake in that now.
Beverly Cinema, the new Beverly?
And the first couple weeks, do Tarantino movies and do your Pulp Fiction dissertation. And then after the Oscars, do American Sniper.
I mean, I want everyone in there rolling their eyes at this over-the-top lines and going like, oh, Jesus Christ, man. Pull it back. Shit like that.
The crowd at the same time goes, there's the baby.
Yeah. Fake baby. Fake baby again. Yeah. Yeah, like Rocky Horror. I want to do one like that. You know what? Okay. Listen for the outro, everybody. I'm going to tell you a time, and we're all going to go to either ArcLight or Beverly Center or wherever this thing is playing. We're just going to sabotage it.
Center doesn't have a movie theater anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And there will be either pot brownies or cookies or something.
Yeah, obviously, take whatever drugs you want to take, and we're just going to fucking... If anyone's there to watch it for real, I'm sorry. It'll be ruined for you.
Don't go with this.
Because we can't... We can't find... The ArcLight will never allow us to do that, right?
Fake baby screening.
Fake baby screening.
Everybody bring a fake baby.
Bring a fake baby. The fake baby screening.
Yeah.
Bring your fake babies. Come to the... It's ArcLight. It's got to be ArcLight, right?
Dress up as a baby.
Where else do they have it? Do they have it in any place that's not as packed?
The Grove?
The Grove? Where
should we do this? You guys know movie theaters. Where should I do this?
I think if you're going to do it, you go full. You do the most high-fluid movie theater chain possible, and that's ArcLight.
I think you just have to just show it. Like, just have a screen so people can see. Like, even like Los Feliz 3. Not that they're showing it there.
Do the one that's right on the corner there, that famous one. That's
the Vista?
Towards Silver Lake.
But it's not playing there. The Vista?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vista's great, but it's not playing there.
It's probably playing at like dollar theaters now. No.
No, it's still out.
It was the number two movie.
You're right. Yeah, you could.
Where can we do this and what day?
It's still playing at ArcLight.
Maybe ArcLight then. Maybe ArcLight's the way to go. Okay, listen to the outro. We're doing details. We're going to do it on, let's see what day it is. And just fucking, if they stop us. Bring a fake baby if you choose.
If they stop us.
Let's go my
you
calendar.
You should have fake babies hand it like. It's like free. It's like fake baby day at the movie theater.
I'm thinking Wednesday the 18th. No, not Thursday the 19th. Let's do it on Thursday at night. Should we do it night or daytime? Night, right? People can't do it daytime, but it's L.A. Maybe people can do it daytime. Nighttime. People have jobs.
We have an event.
Mm-hmm.
How about Thursday night? I want you to. I'll pay for your ticket. I want you to come to see what a shitbox movie that was.
New York on the 19th.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Live at Gotham.
You're taping it?
Yeah.
They put you up or no?
Yeah.
They put you up in a hotel?
Yeah. No. I'm staying with Comedy Groupie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right, listen for the outro. I'm thinking the 19th, but I want to fucking do this.
But I want to hear about this. It.
Yeah.
What?
I want to hear about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'll be waiting to do my live TV set,
yeah.
But I'll have my phone on me. So when you call me and you say we're going to war, it'll be like I'm at a wedding, and I'm like, I got to go.
You got to live tweet it, too.
Yeah, sure. If people want to tweet it, they can.
Bring a computer to tweet.
No, I can't. Well,
bring
I need
a laptop.
That for this fucking thing. All right. Yeah, the 19th. Well, so this comes out on Monday. So Thursday before the Oscars.
The Oscars would be... when you're listening to this, the Oscars are on Sunday.
Are on Sunday the 22nd.
Right. Yeah.
So would that be good or should I wait another week and then do it?
No. I think you do it before the Oscars.
Yeah. My thought was, like, I had this thought a few weeks ago to do it ahead before the voters put their votes in to ensure, like, just so you guys know, everyone in the world is mocking this.
Yeah, you missed that way. What you didn't miss is that if this thing gets picked up by news outlets and it's more, then they might talk about it during the Oscars.
Oh, right.
You don't want to do it after the Oscars.
Right. Okay, the 19th. And I'll just tell you now, I'll tell you the exact time.
I don't condone any of this.
In the outro?
I don't condone what he's doing. That's
right.
I'm thinking sometime between 7:30 and 8:30. If there's a 7:30 to 8:30 showing, it'll be right around there. hopefully.
And by the way, our names are Kent Knapsack and Josh McCougar.
8:15 would be the ideal time. Let's all go see it and fucking mock this movie.
If you want to meet Pauly Shore, then show up.
Right. Oh, that'll be a good idea. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Nominated for Best Picture. Go eat shit. Eat shit and die, Clint Eastwood. Go join Geraldo.
I can't wait to see somebody tweet out a review of Ari's screening of American Sniper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was everything I hoped it would be.
I mean, just appreciate it on that level. Do with it what they did with Snakes on a Plane. Oh, we made a shitty movie? Let's make a mockery
now.
Dude,
you know why you do it at ArcLight? I just got a great idea. Okay, so here's what you do. You tip the guy working at ArcLight. You might have to shell out some cash. Tip him $50. You know how at ArcLight, unlike most movie theaters, right before the screening starts, they have a guy walk out in front with a mic, and he says, "Hi, welcome to ArcLight. You're here to see American Sniper. The running time is 2:10. If you need anything, let us know. Come get one of us." You should be the guy that walks out there, and then you're going to know how many of your people are in
there.
The screening.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If we are at that screening, everybody who comes...
Clap for Ari when he comes around.
No, I'm not coming around. I can't get a job at ArcLight for this. But when that guy comes out, if he does come out, and he goes, "You're here to see American Sniper," boo. People should boo. Go boo. Not that loud, just like boo. Just have a groany murmur. And have them like, huh?
You're getting enough support with people.
And that's why we'll know how many people are there.
There are a lot of people who love that movie, man.
Idiots. And people are like, "You're un-American." It's like, if American is shitty movies, then yes, I'm un-American. But if American is, we have the best film in the world. We have the best fucking Hollywood runs movies.
Hotel.
That's what we do better than anything. Movies is our fucking world.
Yeah.
We don't have basketball anymore.
No.
We're not the best in basketball anymore, but movies is our shit by far.
But we can
make good movies.
Movie with giant robots.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, the 19th. You going to come?
I'll be doing the podcast.
Oh. What podcast?
Schmoes No, 6 to 8 p.m. That's a good time for a plug. PST.
Thursday nights.
That's when you do it? Do it live?
We do it live.
Where do you do it?
At Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro's store. We created that network with them.
Maria Menounos?
Yeah. Created a network with them, like
from E Entertainment.
Yeah,
you can just watch the show live on our website, schmoesno.com.
Well, they created AfterBuzz, which is an entire network.
Wait, schmoesno.com, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah,
every Thursday.
Yeah, or youtube.com/schmoesnopodcast. There's two channels.
So 9 to 11 Eastern.
Yeah, here's what we do. I'm going to be in New York, so I can't facilitate this, nor do I condone
any
of this action.
To the show.
I think Ari should call in to the show.
Yeah. From the theater?
From the theater.
From the theater, right before it starts, and say it's happening or it's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be okay. That'd be fun.
Or at least send us a tweet and we'll talk about it on air.
Yeah.
Guys, okay, but seriously, everyone listening, seriously come out. Let's get like 60 people there. Like, come out. I mean, you got to buy a ticket, but who gives a shit? It'll be $14 there, right? Fuck.
You do a set at the end of it?
No.
He'll do a set from the holding cell.
I mean, we might get kicked out. Yeah. There's a
you
solid
chance.
If 15 people or 20 people are yelling out all throughout... They don't do it at the Miami Improv. If more than one person's yelling, they just ignore it.
Any of the South Florida Improvs, they pretty
it's
much
not like I'm going to run it. I'm saying everybody. Just when you see some shit that's like annoying to the eye, like a fake baby or Jim's dead bro, just Jesus fucking Christ. Just say shit like that.
Jim's dead bro?
Come on. Exactly. Give a favor, man.
Baby is such a phenomenon. I do want to go see American Sniper in a packed house just to see how many people like kind of laugh and react to the fake baby.
You're supposed to make me lose it. And they go, "Well, the baby got sick, and our stand-in baby wasn't available that day." He's like, then shoot another day.
Don't shoot that scene. You don't need a baby.
You got tanks for this and explosions, and you can't afford one more day for a baby? All right, don't show the baby. Just show happiness.
It wasn't crucial for the scene.
Do we buy another tank, or do we wait a day for
Clint Eastwood is not
baby.
That great. Since Million Dollar Baby, he's not spent $1 million on that baby.
That was real baby.
Santa Miller is fun to look at, though.
Santa Miller?
Yeah, fun to look at.
She's a bad actress, huh?
No, I thought she's all right.
She pushed a fake baby through her vagina for this movie.
That's hard.
Pretty impressive.
She actually looks funny in that movie with Vince Vaughn, but I seem to be the only person that is looking forward to that.
No, people say that she's not a good actress.
Really?
Like she's consistently like takes you out of shit.
I don't know. I find her sexy. So
I saw you take your ring off of that. We get it. You're a type. You're the bitchy girl at the bar all alone. You're a type.
You leave this Sienna was Miller
the,
alone.
I think this is the worst done movie since Green Lantern.
Wow.
Like, just bad. Just like, what is this? What is this scene? Who wrote these lines? Get it to a screenwriter to write these actual lines. Don't just say something along the lines of, like, say this.
You know, Ari, there's wolves, there's sheep, and
shut
there's
up.
Sheep wolves.
take off his belt, and I'll be damned if I'm my son's
American sniper.
Get on. What if Painter comes out of retirement to go to the screening on Thursday?
Right, Ricky I, Ricky O, Ricky B, Ricky Q.
Yeah. Arclight. Nobody tag Arclight in it. It's the Arclight on Sunset. I'll give the exact time. Sunset and Ivar. I'll give the exact time, but I'm thinking somewhere around 8 o'clock.
Yeah. I really want to hear about this.
I hate this is going on, but I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about it.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah. I like this idea.
We did something today.
All right. Well, yeah. How can people find you guys? Like you said, you have your atschmosnote.com.
Well, the main thing is the YouTube channel. Yeah, we have about, like I said, about 140,000 subscribers now. Make it more. Go to youtube.com/schmozno and subscribe there.
If you guys don't want the same, like, not bullshit reviews, but like boring reviews, you guys like say whether a movie's good or not, and then you have some fun with it.
Yeah, plus when you subscribe to the Schmozno channel on YouTube, you can search all of our catalog for all our back reviews, including the Jackass 3D or Jackass 2?
No. Jackass 2.
Jackass 2, where you get to see Ari slapped by Sam Tripoli, and it's still one of our highest.
Patrick Coppolino directed
it's in
that.
The top 20 now.
It's hysterical, so go check that out. You can follow us on
top
Twitter.
Top 20 still, even from way back
top
then.
20, yeah.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. Mark Ellis on Twitter.
At 5150 Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
At Christian Harloff or at Schmozno.
What's 5150? Is that a Star Trek reference? Star
Van
Wars?
Halen. Van Halen.
Van Halen. Yeah. That one of their albums, 5150?
It's one of their albums. Eddie's guitar line is a song. There's a lot of cool shit going on. Oh,
wow. I never hated you more.
And you can find us on AMC Movie Talk, by the way. You
guys do that shit, too?
Yeah, we both joined AMC Movie Talk last year.
Yeah, hey, have you guys heard about these? I don't know if they do it here, but in New York, a lot of the comics are on this. I think Lowe's does it, but $30 a month. Watch all the movies you want.
Movie Pass.
Oh, movie Pass.
Yeah, Movie Pass. We were with them for a little bit. They were sponsoring the show for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they were reconfiguring their company a little bit, so we might get back up with them. But I've heard it's a really good
service. $30. I mean, you watch pretty much 2.5 movies.
Summer,
like,
is great.
You're getting ahead.
Yeah.
It's great for summer movies.
What Mike Lawrence said, and he's a big movie buff guy. You should have him on your podcast if he's ever in town. Yeah, he's a big movie guy. Especially like comic book movies.
Yeah.
And a big wrestling fan too, but movies he's into. What he said was that seeing so many movies takes the pressure off each movie, so he just kind of goes, "Yeah, it was all right."
Yeah,
like he doesn't feel betrayed because it wasn't his one movie experience for the winter.
If you got in for free, or you have a movie pass, where
it's less like you fucking waste. I want my money back and my day back. It's like, yeah, I'm seeing lots of shit.
Yeah, we don't go through that.
Not anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Wasted, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And this is a fun fact too. If you're in a movie and you pay to see a movie, theaters have a policy now where if you walk out within 35 minutes, I think, you can get a full refund.
Really?
If you say, look, this movie sucks, you can literally get a refund at pretty much any movie, especially the chains. Go up, just try to time
it 35
minutes
in. They should give you money back. You're like, I'm really not enjoying this at all. I don't want to stay here for this.
I think I did that for G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
Yeah.
I think I got my money back.
Yep. Wow.
You should also be able to like stick a finger on your throat and barf up your popcorn and soda and get money for that back, too.
That should be a talent like on Venice. Well, yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw a homeless guy on Santa Monica Boulevard. Semi-homeless, you know, one of those aggressively homeless, like white homeless, but like younger. Punk homeless. Mac Lindsay homeless. You know, like if his life turned a little bit worse. But this guy was like, to anybody passing by, all these rich people on Santa Monica Promenade, on Thirsty Promenade, he was going, for $5, I'll barf and lick it up. I'll lick up my barf for $5. And this white couple is like 60-year-old. They just go, ugh. I kept walking by. And he goes, oh, you don't believe I'll do it? And I want to be like, bro, that's not what their reaction was about. It wasn't a doubting reaction. It was they're disgusted by your humanity.
If I give you 3, will you just eat somebody else's pee?
Yeah. What are the movies we should be looking out for this coming year? You guys are excited about coming
out? If you want to go big blockbuster, obviously Star Wars.
When is that coming out?
December 18th, 2015. Then the Avengers. Mad Max 2.
Mad Max looks good.
Yeah.
Mad Max looks good from the previews.
Real good.
But you know what? Previews, some American Sniper looked good from the previews.
George Miller's doing it, who's the originator of.
He Mad was Max. The.
His original director. And
oh, really?
Yeah. He's coming back to do it, yeah.
From like 25 years ago?
He's wanted to do it, and it's like. Because it's just another story about Max. It's not a sequel. It's not,
right.
It's just another story. It's pretty
cool. Wow.
Yeah, there's a smaller movie called Sea of Trees with Matthew McConaughey and Ken Watanabe that looks really cool. And Crimson Peak is a horror movie to beat this year. Guillermo del Toro directs it. Tom Hiddleston, Jessica Chastain. It's like a haunted house movie. Could be fucking awesome.
You ever see the original Mad Max? Not Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, but just Mad Max.
Yeah, the original one's great.
The Road Warrior. When they take those chains and they rape his girl in front of him. Oh, it's hard to watch.
Well, that's why George Miller is a badass. But you know, speaking about hard to watch, another movie coming out is Child 44.
Yeah.
And it's with Gary Oldman and Tom Hardy. And it takes place in Russia, but they're going after like this guy who child abductor. And Oldman and Hardy team up together to go after him.
And The Revenant with Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Good one. And Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you
all
guys...
All three of those. That's Mad Max with Tom Hardy.
Really? Yeah. I want you to give me one or two movies... Before we go, and then we'll go. What is we got? 2 hours now? 1:49. That from the past.
If you've been at the gym this entire podcast, you are a warrior.
Yeah.
Beast.
From the past that people have probably might not have seen, but you want to be like, hey, see this movie. I got my two and I'll start. But I don't know the name of the first one. What? It was with that guy, Aaron Eckhart. I think it was the same guy who did Swimming with Sharks. But it was when him and his friend.
Thank you for smoking.
Nope. Him and his friend decide to date a nice girl.
Oh, then Reese Witherspoon's in it, right?
Nope.
Or Jennifer Aniston?
Nope.
Who else is in it?
Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Aaron Eckhart, nope. Aaron Eckhart's in it with some fat blonde nobody. Not you, Ellis. You're not blonde. And you're not fat anymore. You're not fat anymore.
Anymore. I was blonde and fat when I moved out. When I moved to LA, I was blonde and fat.
Sure were.
God, that was a good movie. So, are you looking it up?
How long ago did it come out, Ari?
I think early 2000s, maybe like 2001.
Is it a rom-com?
No. It's a dark themed movie, just like Swimming with Sharks. It's like fuck, but I like movies.
Meet Bill?
Nope. I like movies where it's like this is how we'd really be.
Yeah,
you know, like Mad Max. Like, yeah, they'd be rapes. Yeah. Like, you don't.
Thanks, movies.
Yeah, thanks, movies. Session to pleasure. Your friends. Oh, it was before your friends and neighbor in the company of men.
That's what it's called.
God, that was good. And then here's another one, foreign movie. Old Boy. The original Old Boy.
The original Old Boy, yeah.
Killer. And people like, I don't even know if it was black and white or color. I don't know when it came out, but that was a great movie. Both these movies were really great. And Company of Men, Old Boy. What do you got?
I'd say The Raid 2. Right,
The Raid 2. Better than The Raid 1?
I like The Raid 2 better. It's a little more. Raid 1 was awesome. I mean, awesome. But The Raid 2 combined like every element of like a good gangster film
and
with
action.
Martial arts.
The action I heard was untouchable.
So good. It's one of the best. And then I'd go a little bit more blockbusters if you haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow. Because everyone thought there was going to be a shit.
Dude, I love that movie.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everyone, here's the deal. They were done with Tom Cruise the movie before. Oblivion. They all went to see it, and they're like, you know what? We're done with you. Yeah. And that was shitty. And then this new good movie came out, like, we're already done with you. That was really good. And they didn't fuck off that, too. They didn't handle it just like, oh, purely romantic. They're like, this is how it would be.
Such a great movie.
Yeah. I'll stay on the Tom Hardy train and say a film called Lock that came out earlier this year.
Lock?
And it's a
Lock.
Very small movie. It's literally Tom Hardy is in a car the entire movie. Talking on the phone, driving from one place to another place, you're figuring out through his dialogue what's going on in his life, and it's a fascinating piece. It's a film in a lesser year he would have been considered for best actor.
I agree, and I think also Moon is one as well. Sam Rockwell, Duncan Jones.
Oh yeah,
who directed Duncan
and
Jones,
Source Code?
He directed Source Code.
Yeah,
both of his movies are two movies.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Lock.
Lock.
L-O-C-K, like the philosopher, the guy from Lost. L-O-C-K-E, yeah.
Like the philosopher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the guy from Lost.
Oh, yeah. All right, you guys. Till next year.
Yeah,
can't believe Polly came again. I can't believe he came by again.
I knew it.
And then got out of his car and interrupted again.
He knew he was going
to. And like, Polly, you know the mics. Come over if you're going to come over, or don't. If that's what you should do, not come over. But like,
will he be here next year? We'll predict it now.
Well, fingers crossed that he's not alive next year, that he's with Geraldo and the other greats. But
he'll be at the meeting next year.
Yeah, I'll be at the meeting. All right, you guys.
Great seeing you, buddy. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is
awesome when we live in our dream. Try to do one nice thing for people, you guys. One nice thing I try to do a day. I don't get there, but I try. And on my way home, I found a fucking license of somebody. And instead of just leaving it there, I picked it up into their name, into the computer box, and it found them. And they're going to get their license back. Shit, you have to get a new license. I did that, you guys. Am I a hero? In a lot of ways, yes, I think I am. But in a larger sense, I'm a martyr as well. Because I had to bend over and pick up that license. for this cause. I'm a martyr and a hero. I'm a Miro. All right, you guys, here's the deal. Wednesday night, it can't be Thursday. Wednesday night, I'm going to Seattle to do the parlor, the new downtown parlor on Thursday night. So Wednesday night, 8:35 at the Grove. We're not going to get the main theater at the Arclight, so I figured let's do it at the Grove. That way, traffic won't be shitty. That was my thinking. There's a 7:25 at the Arclight, but I was like, it's too hard to get there. And the Grove is $2 cheaper. So let's go there. It's lovely. The Grove, 7:30 on Wednesday. American Sniper. So here's the deal. No one's going to come out and announce it. That is only at the main Cinerama Dome anyway. And that movie, American Sniper, is not at the Cinerama Dome. It's just in the theater. So, 7:30. Hold on. Yeah, okay, I just checked. No, they have 50 Shades of Grey in there now. So, 7:30, Wednesday, February 18th. We're all just going to go. Here's the deal. Any of the parts that are shitty, go ahead and moan. Just go, oh, my God. Just let all those out, just like that. I think you shouldn't come up with a lot of quips because they're probably not going to play. But just laugh when it's over the top and an awful. When he's acting out how terrible it is when he sees the fucking 9/11 happening, you can laugh at that. And then, yeah, anytime you see fake baby, you can yell out fake baby. That seems fine. But here's the deal. Lots of moans, lots of fucking shit like that. If anybody comes and tells you to be quiet, any usher, then just be quiet. Just be like, oh, I'm sorry. And just be quiet. And then wait a couple. If he's there watching you, wait a couple. And then as soon as he's gone, out of sight, go right back again. And if you get thrown out, that's okay. You haven't missed anything. It's one of the shittiest movies of all time. Don't, like, resist him. Don't do anything crazy. You're not fighting the man. It's just fucking the Grove. By now, it should be mostly us anyway. It should be just mostly regular people. Guys, what a fun viewing of American Sniper that'll be. The Grove on Fairfax. Where is this motherfucker? The Grove on Fairfax, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday, the 18th. Oh my God, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah, Sabotage, you guys. 7:30. Five. I mean, enjoy it. Get some popcorn, some candy, some soda or slushy. Enjoy the previews. And then enjoy making a mockery of a fucking garbage movie. Yeah. Fun times for all. So, all right. Well, that's the episode, you guys. But I'm serious. Pacific, the Grove Stadium, 14. 189 The Grove Drive. Los Angeles, California. Be there. 7:30. Come early. Get some fucking dinner somewhere. Or drink some tea. Walk around Christmas Village. Or get a fucking drink. There's a bar around the corner. Probably be high, too. That'll be more fun. It's going to be so much fun when people start moaning and start going, gah, give it like a, you think, some things like that. Oh, it's going to be so funny. I think we'll be most of the theater. At this point, who's still watching that movie? At this point, we'll be most of the theater. Invite your friends, you guys. Make a date of it. When's the last time you did a fun thing like that? Make a fucking date of it. We're thrown out of a screening of American Sniper. That could happen. You might get thrown out. That's the worst that'll happen, though. Yeah, come. Won't that be fun? Don't say anything on like Twitter or anything. Don't like, you know, get it out, attack them or anything, because then they'll put a fucking kibosh on it. Show up, get your seats, sit wherever, and rain it down. Rain the mockery. It's a mock screening, everyone. It's a mock screening. Fucking steal our money. Fine, we'll give you some. We'll give you 14 extra dollars, but we mock you now. Occupy Hollywood. We're watching you guys. So thank you, schmoes. Make sure to check out their podcast, Schmoes Know, and their YouTube channel. Yeah, those guys are cool. I should do another review for them at some point. But I guess they don't I'm going to see if they do that. Anyway, thanks for the episode, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you on Wednesday. I'm not even joking. I'll see you there on Wednesday. I'm for sure going. If I'm the only one, then I'll probably get thrown out. So, like, 50 other people should come. Tell your friends. Get, like, 5 or 6 people. Why not? Make a fun night of it. We're alive, you guys. We live in Los Angeles. It's going to be fucking 64 degrees in the middle of February when we do this. That's, like, a minimum. Validate your parking. So you don't have to pay for parking. All right, you guys. Thank you. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 207. Possibly 206. The 2015 Gay Super Bowl. With Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff, the Schmoes. Goodbye.
Who are we? Just a speck of dust within the galaxy. Me, if we're not careful, turns into reality. Don't you dare let our best memories bring you sorrow. Yesterday I saw a lion kiss a deer. Turn the page, maybe we'll find a brand new ending where we're dancing in tears and gone. Tell us the reason youth is wasted on the young. It's hunting season and this lamb is on the run. We're searching for meaning, but are we all lost eyes trying to light up the you call my name? I thought I heard you out there crying, but just the same. And God, tell us the reason youth is wasted on the young. It's hunting season and this lamb is on the run. Searching for meaning, but are we all lost eyes trying to light up the dark? Are we all lost eyes trying to light